last spoke, the gaming storefront and launcher world is getting a little bit smaller, with EA choosing to relinquish their exclusivity. Balance has shifted in the Force. This is just one headline to catch up on. Stay tuned for the rest of the stories we have time for, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, back again, back again, episode number 797 for this November the 3rd of 2019. My name, Rob Roberts. Her name, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
And his name, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
And you guys in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, because we do tape live at the Voice of Geeks Network every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show.
Insert your name here.
That's right. So, and we appreciate, of course, all the hosts and all you guys that support our show. And even if you're listening on the podcast feed, welcome back. Hope you weren't thrown off by us being gone for two weeks. We'll address all that a little bit later in the show. But since we have been gone for a little bit, I want to jump right into gaming news tonight. Let's talk about BlizzCon, because ironically, the last time that we did have a show, we were kind of talking about this whole Blizzard made a big boo-boo with the banning of the Hearthstone player and so forth. So BlizzCon happened, and many folks were surprised. I don't know if I was surprised, but I think many folks were surprised that BlizzCon opened with a little bit of this.
Before we start the opening ceremony, I want to say a few words. You know, Blizzard had the opportunity to bring the world together in a tough Hearthstone esports moment about a month ago, and we did not. We moved too quickly in our decision-making, and then, to make matters worse, we were too slow to talk with all of you. When I think about what I'm most unhappy about, there's really two things. The first one is we didn't live up to the high standards that we really set for ourselves. And the second is we failed in our purpose. And for that, I am sorry, and I accept accountability.
So there it is, the new CEO of Blizzard, J. Allen Brack. Sorry, I'm butchering the last name there. I don't have it right in front of me. But he's accepting accountability for what happened with the whole issue.
But to quote Jim Sterling, what are you apologizing for? Because you're being incredibly vague about everything. You're not mentioning the specific things that you did wrong and the specific things that you need to change and the specific things that you're not living up to standards on. You're just saying a tough esports moment. That's... You know what the fucking thing is.
It was a little weird to be so blunt.
It's such bullshit. It is such bullshit. Because they say they're apologizing about it, but are they unbanned? Nope. They are still banned. So they're just appeasing you because they're like, yeah, see, we're apologizing for it. And now here's some new things that you like. And you're totally going to forget about it months down the road when this stuff comes out. And you're going to purchase it anyways.
I understand you would like some smoke for your ass. Let me blow it for you.
I don't know. I think you guys are using harsher language than even I might. And I took a lot of shit on Twitter this week for my stance. But I'm okay with it. You know, like, again, I'm not saying that, like, we need to boycott Blizzard. That's not the word I'm choosing to use in this whole situation. I am seeing other people right now. That's where I am about Blizzard. Because, look, and in many ways, yes, it is about the issue of banning Blitzchung, and more so, I'm at least thankful that J. Allen got up there and said it wasn't just what we did, but it was how slow we were to respond. So I do want to give credit for acknowledging that, because I do feel like, and I it's not that I disagree with you.
I don't know. They're pretty quick. Pretty quick to respond to the was it the college team that also got banned for 6 months?
Well, right, and that's the thing, is it's like I do appreciate that at least he called that portion of it out by name. But
did
I,
he though?
I, well,
did
no,
he?
Shut up and let me talk. But like you, I am kind of like, why don't they just call exactly what it is? And for me, in that, I mean, great, you accepted accountability. It's a nice start. But what's the real difference that's going to change? And if they're not going to sit here and say, we're going to unban those casters who didn't deserve it, even though there's some people out there that feel the casters did deserve it because they feel like the casters lobbed a ball or whatever, I as somebody who has been in the position similar to what a caster would go through live and so forth, I completely disagree with that assessment. That's fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. And that is also important to this scenario. If you want to keep playing Blizzard games, go off, sis. I'm totally fine with that. It's your money. Spend it on how you want. But for me, it's not just about what's happening or what's happened with the Blitzchung scenario. That was more like the final straw for me, because we're forgetting there's been a lot of comedy of Blizzard errors that has been happening over the last 2 years, namely the last BlizzCon and everything that happened there. Namely, remember when at this exact same time this was all going down, there was a guild that got banned for being called gay boys because the automated system, you know, threw it out, whatever. Fine, blame it on the automated system, but that's still like a thing that happened that shouldn't have. And it's more like a culmination of all of these things. And I think what really irritates me about this whole situation, this is what it really is for me, is that, and it's funny because these folks, you know, on Twitter, and again, I'm not trying to like shade anybody and everybody's welcome to their opinion and so forth, want to say, well, if you're mad at Blizzard, you should be mad at Apple, you should be mad at Microsoft, you should be mad at Sony and whatever other companies are having the perception of in bed with China. And that argument, I suppose, would be something you could do if that is the only issue I have with Blizzard. But the problem is that it's not, because what's really irritating to me, here's what it is. It's that they were so fast to ban all these folks that said things about China. But do you remember when that Overwatch League player made the homophobic remarks on his stream? How long did that guy get banned for? Did he get a lifetime ban? No. Did he get a 6-month ban? No. He got a 4-game ban that was the equivalent of a month. That is why I'm mad. Because the China thing was like way overcompensating compared to what they've done in other situations. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. But if you want to continue to play Blizzard games, that's fine. Because I also understand there's a tricky line here. There's many employees, many people I know that work for Blizzard that have nothing to do with any of this. In fact, they get very frustrated by this stuff as well. I don't really want to hurt those people. But the reality is I already bought Diablo 3. I bought Overwatch and so forth. And I just don't really see the need to continue my World of Warcraft subscription right now. And, you know, not playing 2 MMOs right now is really great for freeing up my plate for doing other things. Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2, which we'll get into in a minute because, admittedly, they look pretty sweet. I'll evaluate those games and whether I want to buy them or not when they come out. They're not coming out tomorrow. They're not coming out by the end of the year. They're probably not coming out by summer because where's Warcraft 3 remastered? Where, for all the shit it got, where's Diablo Immortal? I mean, I think they maybe acknowledged, I think Warcraft 3, they said, is doing the beta. I think they acknowledged Diablo Immortal, but for all intents and purposes, those games that were their big flagship things last year, for better or for far, far worse, still aren't out. So we have a whole year at least. Did they say that these games – because I saw a tweet that was something like, wow, all these games are coming out in 2020. Blizzard's got a huge year ahead. Did they say these games are coming out in 2020?
I don't think so.
I don't think they did. And feel free to correct me if I'm wrong in chat. I don't think they said – I would imagine the Warcraft expansion. Yeah, it's got to be because that's their timetable. And maybe one of these games, probably Overwatch 2, is going to be next year. That's a guess. But is it all coming next year? I don't necessarily think so. Blizzard don't always work on those types of timetables. Again, it's been a year. Where's Warcraft 3 Remastered? Where's Diablo Immortal? Those games still aren't out. So that's where it is for me. Blizzard, we're seeing other people for a little bit, and I'm going to continue to see other people. Let's see how you do in the next year. But let's see the action behind those words that you just said. And then in a year when these games are out, I'll decide what I want to do.
But more importantly, though, at the very end of his little apology, if you will, he talked about, like, we have players from, you know, around the world, like, you know, I want to say, like, 69 countries or 65 countries or whatever, and they were talking about their company and stuff and about people everywhere around the world and that they want those voices heard. Except if it's about China, in which case then we're going to ban your ass.
Well, did you notice, though, that – okay, so there was a panel, and I forgot to grab the video of it, but there was a panel. Somebody posted this in our Discord, actually, so shout out to VogNetwork.com/Discord because it's actually where I first saw it. there actually was a World of Warcraft Q&A panel where somebody asked his question, and then at the very end of it said, you know, free Hong Kong, revolution of our times. The exact same quote that got Blitzchung in trouble, he said that right at the end of his question, then promptly walked off and sat down. And the host just kind of had one of those, like, smiles, like, not, yep, this is what they taught me in training might happen, and just kind of smiled and acknowledged it and moved on. Like, they just kind of – it was very obvious they had a game plan for what they were going to do if a Hong Kong – thing started, and it was going to be very much shut the fuck up and just let it take its course and then get the car moving again, because that's exactly what that host did. And then there were it got awkward. I thought what the guy did was very like, just very like, bam, just slapped, like, just thwacked the table and then left. Then there, I thought it was a little awkward because then somebody kind of tried to piggyback on that. Was like, free Hong Kong, free Hong Kong. And then was like dancing in front of the camera. And then the guy said, did you have anything you want to say? And it said, free Hong Kong. And I feel like the second individual kind of messed up that opportunity a little bit. And, you know, when the adrenaline's going, there's a lot of things you can do. It just – the second person came off a little bit more immature. I think the first one was very cool and calculated. The second one was very much like Muppet flail, and it didn't read very well at all. But again, the way they responded to it, very much the host, would you like to say anything? Like, very – like, they knew – that was – there was very much an action plan for that scenario, and you saw it play out there as kind of awkward-ish as it was. So, that's better than maybe like cutting away and trying to shut it down and everything. So I'll give them that. Like, they seem to be learning in that regard. You know, they didn't try to like shut it down completely, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do want to get to some comments in our chat. Questbuster over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network says, on Rob's note about Blizzard employees feeling frustrated, a few of them did stage a small walkout of their own on campus when this broke. Yes, very important to note. And I think that is so cool. And I really applaud those folks, because you know what? Angry internet dorks only go so far. Like, that type of behavior, that's what's really going to affect the change. So when you know that those people on the inside are really on your side too, that is a really, really good feeling. So I fully support what those guys are doing, and I think that's fantastic. And hopefully the change will continue from within. You know, I guess I can talk a little more openly about this now, because I used to work in for many years. I no longer work in. I worked in the health insurance industry. And believe me, I've heard a lot of shit about health insurance over the years. It is a pretty messed up system. But you know what? All I could really do in that scenario, I had to do what I could do from the inside to try to make it better for the customers, to try to make it better for people to understand, to try to make sure that people weren't getting screwed over and all that type of stuff. Sometimes it's the folks on the inside have to kind of do what they can. But every like big fuck up that's ever happened in gaming, it happened in a boardroom somewhere. It didn't happen because some hardworking developer that's working crunch time and all that stuff, you know, decided they were going to screw something up. Anyway, let me get to more comments. SG100 Matt says, we all know what they were talking about in reference to Jay Allen's speech there. They admitted to acting too quickly. They admitted to acting too slowly to speak. Do they really need to name names? In my opinion, I don't think so. It's going to take a long time for Blizzard to win back people's trust, and rightfully so. But this apology is a start. They need to act and not use nice words and heartfelt speeches. They need to do more and prove to us they will be better to win back our trust. Exactly. And the way I see it, as much as Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2 do look great, and I hope they do make better and do better so I can feel good about supporting those games and supporting my friends that work at the company, I don't feel the need to pre-purchase today. Is that so wrong? Don't feel the need to pre-purchase the new WoW expansion today, which, believe me, is something you can do. You want to get your level 60? Because it's 60 again, because everybody's getting a squish. You want to get your level 60 WoW character boost right now? You can pre-purchase Shadowlands today. I just, maybe not now. Maybe not today. Anyway, let's see. Trying to go to some other comments here. Questbuster in chat says, open forum, public space, little doubt Blizzard likely drilled everyone manning their stations at the con on what to expect. Absolutely. They knew it was coming. Somebody on Twitter commented that it sounded like they had a separate mic volume for the crowd, that they had a way to kill the crowd mics and kill the crowd speech if need be, which, you know, as much as you might want to say, like, yo, fuck Blizzard for that type of thing, like, real talk, y'all, there's a lot of things on TV that are like that, and a lot of things where if there's pre-pan, I mean, even any sporting event knows how to cut away from a streaker. right? Because you don't want to give the streaker attention. You don't want to broadcast the booty on TV as it's running by. You know, those types of things, like anybody putting on a professional presentation knows how to cut away from the stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm not surprised to hear it. It's just weird to hear it with BlizzCon. But, I mean, BlizzCon is a massive media production, is it not? Tiger Claw saying, was the red shirt guy back at BlizzCon? I wonder what comment he made. Remember his comment about Diablo Immortal being a late April Fool's joke? It actually wasn't the same red shirt guy. Wearing a red shirt has become some sort of interesting symbol, and it's interesting that all these people that get up on the mic and do interesting things are often wearing red shirts. But believe it or not, the guy who asked the lore question that started the whole red shirt thing, the guy who said, is this an April Fool's joke, and the guy who just said free Hong Kong are all different red shirt guys. Go back. I wish I had a graphic. If I was this is a more professional TV operation, I'd have a graphic that would show like them this. Side by side. Lore nerd, guy making shitty comment, guy saying free Hong Kong. Very different people. Anyway. Anything else you guys want to say about the apology and all that stuff? Dark Sakura, Loki, I know I've said a lot there. I want to open it up to you guys, too.
It's just vague corporate speak. It's seriously what it is. Like,
there's no good way for them to get out of it. Really, there's not. They fucked up. They've kept fucking up. And they're trying to do distraction tactics. Now it's this sort of fake accountability thing. And I don't believe words anymore. I believe actions. I want to see action before I remotely even consider anything else. Because as it stands, I'm pretty done with Blizzard. I mean, I was already done with WoW in general. And now I'm done. No. This is definitely one of the final straws for me. So, especially exactly for the same reason that you said.
And remember, every time there's a controversy, even with Bethesda, they always give the we're going to do better. We need to do better. It's not, you know, up to our expectations. Everybody has that fucking line, and it doesn't fucking matter what they say. It's about what they do. So let's see them do something about it, because right now they haven't done shit.
And in regards to people comparing, you know, company A to company B to whatever, I look at the past record and look at the integrity. Has this company actually made good on what they say? If they found something has gone awry with their services or whatever, how quickly were they to make a change? So that being said, I don't really care about anyone throwing out comparisons. What about this? What about that? That is a fallacious argument in and of itself. And trust me, if you want me to list the general fallacious arguments and why I don't respect them, I can do that at another time. But it is inherently a fallacious argument. The only thing that you can look at is the company itself, what it is doing, and only compare it to its own actions. End of story.
I saw a very interesting tweet that was very kind of like this kind of like shady thing that was like, and it didn't name names, but I could, you know, sometimes you got to feel the shade a little bit, right? It's like that gif of the shade moving over the city. And it was something like, interesting, all of these people tweeting their criticisms of Blizzard from their iPhones when Apple has done all this stuff too. And
not
I'm
really.
Like, okay, look, I can understand why folks may have a criticism of Apple and China. That's fine. And that is your choice to make. That's fine. I'm going to tell you why I didn't make that choice, because it's not the same thing. I just said Blizzard's thing is a history of these things going on. And it's also the Apple's and the what happened here versus what that happened there. And there was a big disconnect between the two bands and what happened there, despite all this other stuff in between. With Apple, yes, I realized they pulled an app that, you know, was very controversial. But for what it's worth, at least when it happened, immediately Tim Cook put out a statement saying, this is why we did it. This is the policy that it broke, and this is what it was. They didn't wait a week. They said, here's the word straight from the top when it happened. Now, I'm not like, again, if you have decided you can't support Apple because of that or whatever, that's fine. That's your call to make and so forth. But I just want to say where this is not the same as this in my viewpoint. And I think to kind of throw out there that like, oh, you got to ban all these companies because they all do business in China. Yo, China's got 1 billion people. Of course, everybody wants to do business in China. But again, it's about how you do that business. And again, you know, when this ban doesn't match that ban, and so on and so on? Is it as much of a crime to say free Hong Kong as it is to say F-A-G-G-O-T on a stream? So, you know, that's why I feel, for me, that argument doesn't work. And also, one other thing I'd say about that whole thing is that Apple, and I don't mean to, it could be Apple, it could be Microsoft, it could be Samsung, it could be, you know, and it insert whoever you want here. That is a device that I use to stay in contact with family and do all that stuff. We're talking about that versus a video game. One is a little more easier to cut out than the other. I think that's why you have so much activism against Chick-fil-A, for example. It's really easy to cut out fast food. I don't want to dive down that whole well right now, but I think that's what makes that particular boycott really easy. It's fast food. Most people shouldn't be eating it anyway. Anyhow, other comments in chat. Over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Azette in our chat says, watch what they do, not what they say. Very, very well said. That's exactly who it is. And we've got, and what I'm trying to say is, look, y'all, we've got like a year. So Blizzard's got a whole chance to be awesome. And I will say that little rainbow pen, at least that he was wearing, that was cool. That was a nice gesture. That's a little baby step. That's a cool thing. Yay. But we got a ways to go. All right. Anyway, Fifth Dream today in chat says other companies make phones, you guys. Yes, and I've seen every single one of those other companies used in a don't support X company because China. You name it. Samsung, there's a reason. Google, there's a reason. Microsoft, you still using a Windows phone? There's a reason. Everybody's got a reason.
I would also look at, and just and back to that, look at all of these various companies' interactions with the government where they operate out of, and also look at the action. Just saying.
All right. Let's get back to games because, you know, let's talk about the games that were announced at BlizzCon because I will say, of course, you know, despite all of this stuff, I'm still a fan of gaming, and I got to say some of these games look pretty darn cool. Let's talk first about Overwatch 2. So on Twitch right now, we're playing some of the gameplay trailer that they put out for Overwatch 2, which shows some of the new features that are going to be in the game, such as there's a new Toronto map, but it looks like they're kind of reusing some maps, but they are going to be some new modes. They've kind of redone what the characters look like. There's going to be more of a focus on PvE. Didn't I say before that if Overwatch were to ever do an expansion, they could do something on PvE? Just say,
yes.
I'm not trying to be that guy that's like, I was right, but anyway. And then they're revealing a new hero in this trailer as well. A new type of map that you can fight on, like a push map, which is actually really funny. Blizzard is a master at putting together these types of trailers. You'll notice I'm not showing this. I love this part of the trailer, the push mode, where the little robot is like, I am really good at pushing. Like, says these. You know, it's really cute. It's very Disney, and it's very, very well done. And you can't help but get goosebumps when you see something like this. I mean, and if you're an Overwatch fan, I mean, double so. This looks really, really, really good, I gotta say. You know, especially if you're an Overwatch fan. Very interesting, though. Oh, and there we go. And, you know, a lot of folks out there saying, when are we going to get a black woman in Overwatch? And there we have people of color, women in Overwatch. We don't have a black woman in Overwatch, but Blizzard did announce they're going to handle that with us. Is her name Sojour? Sojourn?
When are we getting a goose in Overwatch? Damn it. I want the goose.
The goose?
The goose has to be in Overwatch. Goose game? Yes.
I think the goose would be better suited for Smash. Just saying. I think
all the games. I don't care. All of them. Smash, Pokemon, Animal Crossing.
Well, it turns out the goose is doing the pushing on the new Toronto map. Anyway. But no, I will say the game looks really good. Here was the hot take I had on Twitter that, I don't know, I said that Overwatch 2, well, okay, here's why, because they mentioned, oh, if you have Overwatch 1, you can play with people in Overwatch 2. And Overwatch 1 will still get the new heroes, and it'll still get, I think, some of the new stuff, but it's not going to get the new play modes. It's not going to have, like, some stuff is still going to be locked out. And I was kind of like, you know why this is so easy for Overwatch 2 to be cross-play with Overwatch 1? because it's an expansion. It's a really well-branded expansion to Overwatch 1. That's not a bad thing, y'all. Don't come for me, okay? I didn't send for you. Okay, it's not a bad thing. And I think we see this type of thing happen quite often in the sports game world, right? But and Overwatch is a giant esport. And this
you know who's an expert at reselling old content? I'll give you a hint.
Activision,
it's part of the company name.
So
that's an Activision playbook.
Yeah, right. So you know what? I and maybe under the hood, maybe it is a sequel. Maybe it is an all new graphical engine or something. But under the hood,
I'm glad that at least letting your skins and stuff transfer over, because if it were Activision, it would just make you buy those things again.
But let's celebrate that. That is something to note. And I think I will say this. It's actually not shade. What I'm saying there is that, Overwatch 2 is kind of like an expansion for Overwatch 1. It actually does seem like the smart and only possible way to not so much fragment the fan base, especially when you're still trying to push this Overwatch League thing. And how is the Overwatch League going to, like, let's say Overwatch 2 did come out and it was a completely new engine, completely new game, didn't work with the first game or anything because it's all new stuff. It would be like, which game would they play in Overwatch League? How would they sell? Like, would they just completely leave Overwatch 1 behind and say, it's all about that Overwatch 2 shit now?
I don't understand if
the Overwatch loyalists that
would
want to go to
the features that they're adding are PvE. Who cares? Like, if it fragments, it's not
me. I love the PvE stuff.
I don't see how this wouldn't be any different than just selling an expansion, except now they can sell it for like $40 instead of $20.
Well, and there are, to be fair, it's not solely PvE because there are new PvP map types, and those will be locked, such as a new map in World of Warcraft will be locked if you don't get the Shadowlands expansion when that comes out, because that's how expansions work.
Seems like an awful big cash grab to me.
I actually completely disagree. With as critical as I've been of Blizzard, I don't think it's a cash grab. I think this is very Blizzard's model. They do expansions with Diablo all the time. They do expansions with World of Warcraft. They do expansions with Warcraft 3.
I'm not saying that's wrong that they do an expansion. I'm talking about, yes, I have Overwatch 1. I buy an expansion that adds additional content to the game. Yes, I understand what an expansion is. This is, hey, you like this game. Well, you want the additional content, you have to rebuy the whole fucking game again, is what I mean.
I actually don't think it's that at all, because they are saying the original Overwatch will still get the new heroes and enough to be cross-compatible with Overwatch 2. It's just, if you want these extra PvE, you want these extra new skins, you want these new PvP modes, then you're going to have to buy this expansion, which is called 2.
But arguably, this expansion is going to be the cost of a full game versus what I feel.
We can assume it probably
would. What I feel DLC would be priced at.
I'm going to some comments over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And Bobby does say clearly they didn't announce price. I didn't figure they did because, again, we're a year out. I mean, games prices may change overall in a year. Who knows? At least. Act Deft in chat says PvE is what Overwatch needed so badly. Fifth Dream Today says just pull a DOA and make 3,000 of the same DLC for the next game. SG100 Matt says the PvE stuff they did in Overwatch was only for a limited time and was limited in what they did with it. From what they are showing, this broadens everything. Questbuster says, speaking of fragmentation, Activision also wanted to avoid fragmenting the base with the new Modern Warfare and the upcoming content with free maps and no season passes. Ooh, I like this comment from ActDeft, who says, what we suggested on GFMcast is that probably Overwatch 1 is going free to play. Or that Overwatch 2 will include Overwatch 1 for free. Well, I think it kind of has to. I think Overwatch 2, by default, kind of has to. But I really like that theory that Overwatch 1 might just straight up go free to play.
I don't think it will.
I'm not going to be so quick to shoot that theory down. I'm not going to say, you're right. I don't think it'll happen at the same time. I think Overwatch 2 will come out first. Then maybe after a year, that might be like the long-term plan. I could see that. But I don't know. We'll see. So that's Overwatch 2. You know, again, Blizzard does a great job at putting together the trailers, really kind of hit you in the feels with all that stuff. And, you know, yeah, like I would love to play the PvE stuff in Overwatch, quite frankly. So I'm curious to hear more about that. And then, of course, the other big reveal, the thing I didn't grab video for was World of Warcraft Shadowlands, just because, you know, we do have a lot of news to get into tonight, so I can't do all the BlizzCon stuff. But yes, there is a new World of Warcraft expansion coming. It's called Shadowlands. You know, it's going to allow you to level your character from 50 to 60. Why? Because the level squish is incoming. So a current level 120 character will be squished to level 50. And it's going to be very interesting because apparently you're going to level to 10.
Why?
In a new zone. And then from 10 to 50, you can level in any of the expansions. Because it was getting to be too much. Like, I kind of figured this had to be coming. Like, Warcraft has had so many expansions now that, like, if you want to level an alt, it can really be a slog. So I actually think this is a good thing. It's just going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But they're saying that everything – I mean, like, you're not going to get screwed out of being able to hunt for transmog gear and stuff. Like, you can still run the old dungeons and really overpower it. I think the official lines was something like, we want the level ups to feel more meaningful in scale and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, like, it's just, like, if they had upped the level cap to 130, it's too fucking much. It just takes too long and it's too much of a slog through old ass expansions. So you know what? I honestly think this is actually a better idea. So cool. Anyway, but the other big game that was announced, of course, was finally Diablo 4. And here's some gameplay of Diablo 4 that they showed, which, you know, looks very similar to any other Diablo game I've seen. But it does, you know, you can see the years of upgraded graphics and so forth. A lot of people are talking about how the new Diablo has like a darker tone. I don't know if I guess. I mean, it's, I think people hate on Diablo 3 too much, to be quite honest. I don't think what I'm seeing in this Diablo 4 is like some massive color palette shift from Diablo 3. I don't see that. What I do see is riding horses, and I do see the druid shifting into a bear, which looked really cool, and I think a lot of those classes are coming back. And yeah, I mean, I've always been a big fan of the Diablo games. It took a little bit for Diablo 3 to get there. But it got there, and it's really fun to play. And I'm curious to hear more about Diablo 4. I think it is still, like, really early on. I mean, again, it looks really good. We see things in the snow, and, you know, we do see, like, a real kind of varied amount of different environments that the Diablo game is taking place in. So that does seem really cool. But I think one thing that they did very well in Diablo 3 was that they really created this end game in the expansion with running the rifts and all that stuff that, of course, they didn't really have time to get into with this Diablo 4 discussion and everything that they were showing at BlizzCon with Diablo 4. You know, because there's just so much to get into with the game, and they probably want to focus a little bit on the story mode and the base and the demo that people were going to play while they were there. So they're not ready to talk about endgame yet because this game is still forever out, and that's fine. But I'm curious to hear more about that when the time gets closer. But this will be the thing that I will really want to get, so why I am, believe it or not, really rooting for Blizzard to make those internal changes they need to take, and for Jay Allen to mean it when he says he's going to take accountability and you know, shift those changes the way they need to be shifted, so that I can feel good about buying Diablo 4 when it comes out, but because it does look pretty hot. And honestly, I'll probably buy Overwatch 2 as well with the same bullet point that I put on the last one. So any thoughts on Diablo 4 from you guys and our chat?
It looks pretty, but it's more fucking Diablo.
But is more fucking Diablo a bad thing? Because, like,
I don't know. I got bored with Diablo 3. I got bored with Diablo 2. Just Diablo is kind of boring.
The click zen and destruction and loot and goal, it's just, it's very soothing in a weird way.
I don't know. It didn't gather any of my interest. Mm-hmm. It really didn't.
Loki, I don't think you've really ever super been into Diablo, but I don't know. I mean, now what I didn't show here was there was a very long cinematic that was very gory and so forth. And you know what? Blizzard's cinematic team always does a great job. I just didn't show it here because it wasn't the game. But it was a great, like, announced trailer. And, you know, it always baffles my mind why the Blizzard cinematics team, like, just doesn't make a movie. Like, imagine if they had just made the World of Warcraft movie.
It would probably have been better than it was.
Honestly, it very much might have. So I don't know what's up with that.
Thank you. Now I just remembered that they made a World of Warcraft or a Warcraft movie.
Well, you know what movie they ought to.
I liked it, by the way. I liked the movie.
I didn't think it was terrible, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. The movie they ought to make, Blizzard's cinematic team ought to make an Overwatch movie. Like, I really think that's a missed opportunity. Like, it seems ridiculous that maybe that's a thing that'll happen in a few years. But, like, an Overwatch movie seems like the biggest, like, opportunity that they're not taking. Yeah. I don't know why.
You know who kind of picked up on that opportunity and decided to go ahead and run with that? Riot Games. Did you see their announcement?
No, I didn't.
So Riot Games, they always do these really cool like cinematics and music videos and stuff around their League of Legends tournaments and everything. So now they have their animation studio working on a series called Arcane, which is their like animated series that kind of ties in all the cinematics that they've been doing. But they do some pretty awesome stuff. I remember like the KDA music video and everything, and they've had a bunch of like cool things that they put out. So I'm looking forward to anything that they've done. But yes, they should do that too. I think it would be very fitting.
I agree. Now, I want to get into something else that was posted on our Discord, actually. I want to talk a little bit about this. So a shout out for our Discord server at vognetwork.com/Discord, because sometimes you guys post stories there. This is kind of like a completely different note. It's not necessarily about BlizzCon itself, but I thought this was very interesting. I wanted to get your guys' take on this, including in our chat room. But it's a story about the Overwatch 2 leak. Now, we've been off for the past 2 weeks, so we did not get a chance to talk about the leaks. But I think most of you generally know at this point that it was pretty much out there that Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2 were going to be happening because there was an ESPN-related link with Overwatch. There was like a foreign guide art book or something that leaked the Diablo 4. But we knew these things were coming, right? Mm-hmm. But there was an interesting interview with Jeff Kaplan, who, of course, is the creative guy behind Overwatch, that talked about how those leaks were very frustrating for the Overwatch 2 team because what happened – here's the quote. Our artists are heartbroken. They take such care to make the art look beautiful, and then we get some crappy version of what the art looks like because somebody had, like, taken a cell phone pic or something. I don't know. And then people are like, I don't know. It doesn't look that good. And we're like, no, it does. It looks amazing. It's just a crappy screenshot that someone took, so it can be a bit demoralizing. That's a very interesting comment, especially when you consider many people were theorizing that the leaks were intentional on Blizzard's part to try to deflect. I don't know if I buy into that, but I'll just put it out there because it is something gamers are talking about, that Blizzard potentially put those leaks out there themselves in order to get the focus off of what was happening with the Hearthstone competition and the results, and instead to talk about the future of Blizzard things. So it's very interesting, the whole leaks and how they can be damaging for the game. What do you guys think? Are leaks a good thing or are leaks a bad thing?
Depends.
It's good for me.
It's really situational because in some cases it builds hype for something. It makes people even more interested in it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, for me, if there's a movie that I want to see, I might go look for, like, leaked reviews or, you know, things like, or I might see, like, does the dog die or something.
Yeah. Well, and I'm giggling because speaking of Discord, I feel like, and I'm not being shady, I promise, but I feel like every week there's the weekly Tiger Claw update on what's going on with the Sonic the Hedgehog movie based off what's leaked from either a standee that showed up in a cinema or what Junkie XL doing the soundtrack has made a comment about the redesign. I think that was the thing this week, and so on and so on. So it's interesting because, I mean, you know, for fans and folks, even though I'm very much, when it comes to that, I'm very much like, I'll wait for the new trailer.
I mean, you had me at Junkie XL doing the soundtrack. I mean, that's already like that and Jim Carrey being in it. I mean, I totally see it. But
So it's interesting. So those leaks can sometimes be a...
Well, I just didn't realize he was doing the soundtrack. Yeah, that's
okay, but that is something, right? So anyway, let's see. Going to a comment from YYR in our Twitch chat who says, leaks make a game healthier. Green vegetables are great for your health, because it's L-E-E-K-S. Get it. Thanks, Dad. YYR officially making dad jokes in the chat. Thank you. Officially. Act Deft in chat says, speaking of leaks, how about them Pokemon leaks? Well, that's one that's going on right now, right? I know some people are trying to avoid those leaks, so I'm not going to get into them in great detail. I will just point out, I have a text message from Shane about an hour ago talking about that I guess the Pokédex has leaked. So I'm like, which Pokemon got cut? And he's kind of explaining it to me. Again, I'm going to respect the wishes of those that are trying to avoid the leaks, so I don't want to get into those details. But, I mean, it is causing us to talk about Pokemon and get that whole like hype building a little bit there. I mean, in Shane's case, not that any additional hype is needed, but I suppose, you know, I'm a little bit more of a filthy casual when it comes to Pokemon. So talking about it does make me go, oh, yeah, that Pokemon game's in like 2 weeks. It's going to be here before I know it. Crazy stuff. So anyway. All right. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, how do you know when a joke becomes a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. All right. Anyway. womp womp. All right. Let's move on. We've spent a long time on that topic, but that's honestly, I feel like outside of BlizzCon, that's like all anybody's been talking about this weekend. There is some other stuff that's been going on in the world that we will get into. But we were gone for a couple weeks, right? This is our first show back since I think October 13th. Not completely by our design. I'll explain a little bit more about that in a moment, but I thought we could take an opportunity to talk about what were some of the big headlines we missed in our time off. So Loki, what were some of the things we missed while we were gone for 2 weeks?
So apparently we have a new system coming out from Analog. So they're doing a portable system that looks kind of like an original Game Boy, but it plays most portable games.
I've reached out to try to get a demo, by the way.
So it looks pretty awesome. It's got like a 1600 by 1440 resolution, 3.5-inch screen. It plays Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance games out of the gate. And then they're going to have adapters for the Game Gear, Neo Geo Pocket Color, Atari Lynx, and more. And with the, you know, resolutions on the screen, I can imagine they could play quite a bit more. But the system's going to cost $200 and it's coming out sometime in 2020. And it looks so nice. I mean, I'm not even really interested in the handheld games, but I kind of want one.
I feel like I have so many, like, retro things that, like, as neat as this looks, I'm like, if I buy one more of these things, honestly, I need less shit in this house, not more.
Well, this plays, like, original cartridges. This isn't, like, one of those, you know, classic mini systems or anything like that. Which, fair. Really, I'm surprised Nintendo's not doing a classic mini Game Boy or something like that. But I guess we'll have to wait and see on that. So then Capcom also mentioned that they want to bring back some old dead franchises. One that sounds like they may be batting around is Akami, so we may see a new Akami game pretty soon. And apparently, a Japanese arcade, Anata no Warehouse, is closing down, and they apparently were pretty legendary, interesting arcade. And it's unfortunate that they're going down because of a change to the sales tax laws in Japan. And let's see, what else? So, we had some announcements regarding Panzer Dragoon Remake is getting a physical edition, which I know that was teased, also coming to PC.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That's pretty soon, isn't it?
I think so,
yeah. I think so, too. I think it is a holiday for this year game. Believe it or not, now that Halloween's over, we're in the holidays, apparently. Some people say we've skipped Thanksgiving. I've always kind of considered Thanksgiving a holiday. So I sort of thought this period was always the holidays.
Right? I kind of got mad, like, or at least an annoyed look in my face the other day because it was like the middle of October and they were wearing Santa hats at the grocery store I went to get a sandwich. I'm like, really? Like, it's not even fucking Halloween yet. Really? You got fucking Santa hats? I mean, what the hell?
Back to games.
Anyway, sorry. So then what else? They're going
to
have...
I refuse to acknowledge your weird pagan holiday.
They're going to be doing physical releases of the Aladdin and Lion King games.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
So those are going to be coming out as well.
I'm surprised the licensing got all worked out for that, especially how both those movies got the real-life remakes. Disney's been some real dicks, too, about their old properties, especially the stuff they just got from Fox. There's this whole thing, and I don't want to deviate too much from games, but I think this is kind of adjacent because, like there would be cinemas in town that would do, like, late-night screenings of The Princess Bride or Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Or, and I don't, you know, like, all these – I don't even know if those are actually Fox or Disney, but, like, classic movies and stuff, right? Yeah, Disney's pulled all that. They're not allowing theaters to show those old movies anymore, with one notable exception. There is one exception that they haven't touched, and that's a little movie called The Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is still a Fox movie. And I think the reason why is because they know if they touch that, they're going to be fucked with a capital F, because there will be some angry cross-dressers out there acting out the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I've been a proud member of that scene for a long, long time, that will be very upset at that whole thing. So I think Disney is rightfully so stayed away from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. But everything else, they've been like not renewing rights, not granting. And it's all because of fucking Disney Plus. Because why go to the theater to see it when you can buy Disney
Plus?
Well,
it's kind of that's the other thing that kind of annoying for me, because most of the MCU, this next phase of it, is their Disney Plus shows, which I'm like, okay, well, cinematic universe, I kind of was hoping more to be in the cinemas, but I guess TV now, cinematic universe, whatever.
Tiger Claw says, I'm sure you're still giddy that the Rocky Horror Picture Show is now a Disney movie. Actually, Tiger Claw, I feel the exact opposite of that remark, especially in light of everything I just talked about. Fuck Disney right now with a whole lot of this. This sucks. I was going to get Disney Plus, but now I kind of don't want to, because I don't want to support this. Oh, there goes Rob again talking about boycotts. I don't know if it's not a – I don't think it's a boycott so much as it is, I don't want to buy that.
Yeah.
I don't want to buy that.
So they did a piece on Conan O'Brien about Death Stranding and his visit to Kojima Studios. And, of course, predictably so, he's in the game. So that's awesome. Last of Us 2 got delayed to spring of 2020.
Oh, yeah, I heard it got another little delay. That's all right. Well, you know, honestly, again, If you need the delay to get it right, delay it. Cool.
Yep. And then
we should start celebrating delays. We should. I'm going to put that on the list of things to do. Make a bumper to celebrate video game delays. I'll get on that for 2020.
Okay. And then I was going to say, last but not least, let's see. We'll talk about how Sony has confirmed that PlayStation 6 through 10 in Japan, at least the trademarks for those, are in place.
I think we're actually getting to that a little later in tonight's show.
Oh, well,
now
I spoiled it for you. So there you go.
We'll come into it a little later. See how it says this week at the top of that?
That's whatever. You know what? I'm not paying attention to this shit.
All right. Anyway.
Our show is as broken as WWE 2K20.
All right, let's get into another segment here. We're going to talk a little bit about our gaming weeks, but we're going to do it a little bit differently because we've been gone for 3 weeks, so there's been a lot going on. So I want to do a segment called How Is Your Week? How Is Your Day? And those longtime OLR fans may recognize that name. I've brought it back from the dead tonight just because it's been so long, and I know a lot has been going on. So first, collectively, before I go to Dark Sakura, because of course I'll let her go first, but generally I want to speak to what happened to the show. So 2 weeks ago, we knew we weren't going to be here, kind of, because I found out for work about 2 or 3 weeks prior I was going to need to be gone. I was going to be on my way to Vegas for some work-related things, and I had to fly out on a Sunday because it started Monday morning. So we knew 2 weeks ago we wouldn't be here. The reality is, day job, most important thing, it pays the bills. Without this, the lights aren't on, so got to do the day job stuff. So I think you all understand and know about that. Last week was a little shittier because, believe it or not, we were here. We were prepping to do a show. We were all going to be here. It was going to be great. We're going to do the show. And then we had some crazy ass wind here in the Sacramento area and really up and down California. I'm sure you guys have heard about those really horrific fires that have been happening up and down the state. And luckily, not so much here in our area in Sacramento. Yes, there were some fires in Sacramento, but I don't believe any structures or, most importantly, people. Maybe a few structures, but no people in the Sacramento area. So for the most part, we were fine, except
I'm so glad there wasn't any spontaneous combustion.
The problem was is those high winds killed the cable. And so without the cable, we couldn't broadcast our show on Twitch. And I did give thought to, well, we could all sit here and at least record something and we could just put it out on the podcast feed. But the problem is, without cable, we can't pull up our stories to look at and do that whole thing. And it just would have been really weird. And honestly, guys, the whole thing was really frustrating. So I was just like, fuck it. We're just not going to do OLR again tonight. So thank God we're here tonight, because I shit you not, do you know what happened at 1 o'clock earlier today? The power went out. for about, luckily it was only about 15 minutes, but like I wrote this tweet that thankfully didn't go through, probably because of the power outage. It was probably trying to send it to my router or something. Well, no, because the router would have been off, but for whatever reason it didn't send. And it said, "You've got to be fucking kidding me. The power just went out." It's like, God does not want to hear any more OLR. God is done with this show. The end. But thankfully, power came back on 50 minutes later. Phew. So a crisis averted, and here we are. Hooray. I will warn you guys, though, next week, guess what? I'm not going to be here live. But here's the thing. I've been planning a trip to New York City for like 6 months. My gay ass is going to see some Broadway. I'm fucking hyped about it. You know, sorry, not sorry. But here's the thing. Luckily, we're able to make it work. Myself, Dark Sakura, Loki, we're going to tape a special show midweek, and we're going to air that on Sunday. So we're going to do an OLR bonus stage episode this weekend, and that will also go on the podcast feed, of course. So it'll be a lot easier than it was to miss two shows in a row. But that's why we've been gone. It's very nice to be back because, of course, it's very frustrating to not be here for a couple of weeks. I will say a couple things that have happened housekeeping-wise on the Vogue Network front. Our Discord server is now a boosted server because a very kind individual just got Discord Nitro and used his two boosts on the Vogue Network server. So now we have the higher sound quality and all that fun stuff, and you can use the – can you use the email? No, I think that's – that I can do that because I'm a Nitro person. But it's supposed to unlock more stuff. Bottom line, join the Vogue Network Discord. VogueNetwork.com/Discord. That's VogueNetwork.com/Discord. ActDef says, God wanted OLR. That's because the power went back that fast. Yes, that's true. Bobby Blackwolf says, the final premiere. Yeah, because Twitch TV premieres are going away November 12th. Kaijudo in chat says, you guys need to let Bobby fill in for you. I'm sure he won't mind recording for 4 hours. I think Bobby actually would mind that. Maybe if he had some co-hosts to help him, but I don't know if he'd want to go for 4 hours. Unless he gets Tommy Tallarico on his show next week. Then he'll be fine going for four hours.
Yeah, Tommy could go for like 10 hours, so that's fine.
And that's no shade. I love Tommy, and I want to hear all about his Intellivision chat. No shade, but he certainly talks because he's enthusiastic about what he's talking about. Let's see. So, yeah, and Dr. Suya says, so not numbered? No, we're not going to number the next show because I'm specifically delaying episode 800 until December 1st. So that way, episode 800 is the same month as our 1 year anniversary on Twitch. I don't want to say too much about this right now because I don't know what will be in place or what won't be in place. But behind the scenes, we're plotting a sort of soft relaunch, if you will, of Orange Lounge Radio, because the reality is, you know, there's a lot of great people out there that are still listening and so forth, but we've really been kind of struggling to like get the word out about our show, get some of the longtime listeners from a long time ago to come back, and I bet a lot of people don't even know we're on Twitch now and so forth. So we want to do kind of like just like a soft relaunch and kind of a creative reboot, if you will, of our show. I'm not saying we're going to like change everything and so forth, but maybe there'll be some new art, maybe some new promo pics of us because it's been a while.
I'm going to stop wearing pants.
Maybe we'll wear pants. Maybe not. Maybe we'll have some new sound effects, maybe some new videos and things like that. So just some creative kind of like, you know, like a makeover. Who doesn't love a makeover, right? Y'all watch your daytime TV and see those fabulous makeovers. That's what we're looking at for episode number 800. So anyway, Sia Tiberi says, smush cam. Don't count anything out. Don't count anything out. All right. Dark Tetsuya says, hashtag bring back the soundboard. I can give that an enthusiastic no. all right. Anyway, let's move on with how was your week? How was your day? Dark Sakura, you've had a bit going on.
I have.
I'm actually surprised you're here tonight, and I don't mean that in a shady way, but you know why I'm saying that.
Well, and I'll just go ahead and come out with it, but I'm not going to define what it is. I had a salpingectomy. Look it up if you care. But it was a laparoscopic procedure. I had it on Wednesday. I'm on my last bit of medication for it. So yeah, I hurt quite a bit, but I couldn't miss this after not having been here for 2 years. 2 years.
You're definitely
on
drugs. I'm
definitely. Oh my God. Well, okay. So they gave me the big Oxy, right? And I've never taken it before.
Oh, that's fun.
I've never taken it before, and like for like a while, I'm like, I don't feel anything. Oh, Oh, ooh. And then that's what it's been like on that shit.
By the way, thank you, Dar Soccer, because when you came to the show, you brought me a little bag of candy corn, which you talked about on the last OLR, a little bag of maple candy corn. So I'm feeling my Canadian self tonight. I'm actually not Canadian at all, but I love Canada so much. This maple candy corn is really good.
I got the jug store just for you.
Okay, but what cracks me up, it's in the same type of packaging that like trail mix would be in. Yeah. It's like not a big bag of candy corn, but it's one of those like little snack bags of candy corn.
I thought
that was funny.
It was the only size I saw that in. And I got you the other thing. The other thing that you never get.
Oh, yeah. I love vanilla Tootsie Rolls.
Those are amazing.
She brought me a whole thing of them.
I found those.
Trick or treat.
But
by the way, what'd you dress up at? Oh, you didn't do Halloween because of procedure. Oh, did you?
I did it at work.
What'd you do?
Okay, so I got at the thrift store because I thrift for everything now because I don't know what fucking fits me and I'm cheap.
Okay.
So I got, it was like a Forever 21 skater dress, like 3/4 sleeve, but it had, it was black with pentagrams all over it. So I wore that and my woven witch hat. And I'll find a picture and put it in chat or something. And then just did like hardcore, really awesome makeup. And I made cookies. My cookies were, I got dehydrated strawberries. So I took half of the big bag of them and just powdered them to make my flavoring in my sugar cookies. And the other half I soaked in water and they got kind of leathery and chewy. You know, like when you get the pink drink at Starbucks, it's the same thing. They get kind of leathery and chewy. Mm. And so I added a lot of red food dye to it, and I made viscera cookies because it was kind of like what I would imagine eating intestines like. So I made viscera cookies and had everybody with like red mouths and everything from the food dye. It was pretty cool. And I'm still waiting for Detroit Become Human to come out on Epic thingy, so it's not out. I did get my legit physical copy of River City Girls. And so Dan and I are going to play that. We talked about setting up the stream and everything, but like right now I'd probably just start falling over into a giggle fit trying to play it. And I'm back into Sims. I've been playing Sims, but my computer's being a little shit. So I've already, though, put together my next computer. It's going to be great. I'm getting an iMac Pro. It's about $4,000. It has 64 gig of RAM with a really nice graphics card. And it will be well enough that I can dual boot it for still playing some of my other games.
Buy me one, too.
Did y'all can't see the look I'm giving Rob right now, and it's called, do you know how much sushi you'd have to buy me?
$4,000
worth. $4,000
worth?
$260
I was
worth
just,
of pudding.
I was just in Vegas, so the type with the real gold flakes on it, the edible ones.
Also, anyway. You know what I just did?
Huh?
Before I came here?
What?
I had chocolate with edible gold in it.
Yum.
It was great.
Good times.
And you've also given me candy and coffee while I'm kind of high, so...
I just want to make sure you were in a good mood for tonight.
I'm in a mood.
All right.
I'm in some kind of mood.
Loki.
I love everybody, mostly.
Loki, how was your week? How was your day? What'd you dress up as for Halloween?
I had, for work, they made us do, they wanted me to do like an 80s costume. So I went to the Halloween store the night before Halloween. And the first costume I saw that reminded me of the 80s was a Double Dare contestant costume.
That's awesome. Did you get pics? I didn't see any.
I took a picture of the costume. But it's great because not only do I get to wear this costume for one day, because it was really just like a t-shirt and like some elbow pads, and they have like a helmet and stuff with like a magnetic cup. It's like the cup that they normally wear on top of their head when they're filling it full of crap.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So, but now I have a Double Dare t-shirt that I can wear anytime. So
you
it's like win-win.
The kids' shirts and the wife a shirt, and you guys could have been family Double Dare.
Yeah, they didn't have – they only had it like the adult sizes. So they had large and extra large. Oh, so
right.
I and there was only two left.
I'm shocked you didn't get a picture of yourself.
Yeah, I should have, but
I got to go get my costume. I'm going to go get my costume, okay? Because mine's very – so I'm going to go get it and wear it for the people, okay? While you continue to tell us about your week and your day.
All right. So my week I did, it was a lot of Halloween stuff. So like the first week that we weren't here, we had like a local haunted house that we took the kids to, and that was all right. And then the kids went trick or treating on Halloween and we did all that. And what else? We did a school field trip. So we've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go and Ingress because I was up in Grass Valley, and there's a bunch of portals and stuff that I have never tagged before. So I say, yeah, what the hell? Because this is boring, so I'm going to do this as I walk around. And then other games I actually played, too. I played more Borderlands 3. So I think I'm pretty far into that. I did manage to play What the Golf. I was thinking about streaming it, but I just didn't get around to it. So I've been playing that. And
You ready?
I'm ready.
It's because Rob is the greatest.
Hello. I can't even do an Australian accent, but I've dressed as Sia for Halloween. And the minute I saw the wig, I was like, that's so incredibly random and ridiculous. I have to do it. So anyway, not to interrupt your story, but I interrupted it.
Okay.
But I did it in a Sia wig, so it's awesome, right?
I should have worn my costume today. I forgot.
You really should. We got robbed of a Halloween edition of OLR.
We did, yeah.
We really did.
But yeah, so I played Borderlands 3 and What the Golf, and I'm really digging What the Golf. It's a pretty fun non-golf game. It's really strange, and there's a lot of homages to like other games in there. Definitely worth checking out. And then I've been working on my game a little bit, not making much progress in it, or I should say I've been working on it quite a bit, but yeah, the progress I'm making is very minimal, which is unfortunate because it's kind of frustrating, but it's still progress, so doing that. And then what else? That's pretty much it, yeah.
All right. Let's see, my week and my day. I went to a conference that was about learning, and I talked a little bit about this on Bobby's show, so I'll kind of like throw you back to Bobby's show last week, because we still did a call even though the power was out. I could still use my – excuse me, the cable was down. I could still use my phone. I went to a learning conference. I learned a lot. Like they were talking about using AR in learning, which I thought was really cool. Like the fact that like, let's say you're learning how to build a jet engine. You could put a pair of glasses on, like say the HoloLens or something, and you can use those glasses to like look at the jet engine and it'll show you like the outline, like put the piece here and do this. And I thought it was really cool. And then I also had like a VR thing that was training about like workplace safety and stuff. So I'll just defer you over to Bobby.
That sounds like a valuable use of assets to, you know.
It was interesting because I've always associated AR and VR with gaming, even though AR, specifically things like HoloLens and stuff, you know, they're saying it's not so much like don't think of HoloLens as a gaming device because they're finding more and more uses in the real world for it. Well, I got to see some of those.
Not selling it to people.
Well, and I got to see some of those real world adaptations firsthand. And I really do think, like, you know, in 5 years, this type of like glasses, learning how to do, I think you're going to see much more of that. I really think that is the type of place we're talking about. Even I know Google, the glass hole and Google Glass and all that stuff, but I think there'll be some form of that that's going to be a little more standard in the next maybe 5-10 years. We'll see. That's just kind of something I walked away from. And I think there will be some sort of gaming, because they talked about that AR can certainly have a place with storytelling, and certainly, you know, the brief extent of HoloLens I have had, I got to play that Fragments game, which was kind of like the mystery game that uses, and it's fucking awesome, and like, so there's definitely like storytelling experiences there. I just don't know, you know, AR is not necessarily a gaming device. I think AR is just, it's going to be new technology, and where there is technology, there will be games and porn, people. Like, I'm sure, I didn't see any of this, but I'm sure AR porn, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Just, yep.
It will. Like, you're going to see it, and you're going to be able to
stick your head right
boink
in there.
What?
Boink.
Yeah, you just.
It's V-boink.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Anyway, into games. So, okay, because I did decide to scale back the MMO stuff a little bit, I'm only playing one MMO right now. I'm playing Final Fantasy 14. But even then, it's kind of like, oh, I get on, I do some of my daily dungeons, and I've been enjoying.
What was the thing, like, I saw, I don't know if it's, like, with Playgrounds or something like that? What the hell is that?
Okay, so they just did a new patch, 5.1, and with that, they did new Beast Tribe dailies. So there's this, like, fairy tribe, basically, mm-hmm. of fairies that you help out. And as you are doing the quests and you gain reputation, you're unlocking dreams in this dreamscape. And so the first dream you unlock is this big playground. And so it's just, like, the thing about Final Fantasy 14 that I'm really kind of loving is that they definitely do these things that are very tongue-in-cheek, like, we're going to create this canvas because we know our fan base is going to go hog fucking wild with it. And so they basically found a way to write into the story, this way to have this big, like, cotton candy dreamscape where you're sliding down slides and you have chairs that are macrons. like the not macaroons, but the French macaron. Yeah, the French ones that are like and that are way better. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the coconut ones too, but those little pastry ones, oh, so fucking good.
I had one today.
Well, I'm so jealous. Well, you can get those as like chairs for your house now because of this Dreamscape. So anyway, and it's just like this little playground that you can go hog wild and play on. It's really cute. So I've been doing that type of stuff in Final Fantasy 14, and that's been cool. But I've been playing other games too. So I've been checking out The Outer Worlds, thanks to Xbox Game Pass. It was out,
yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I'm just gonna check this out, download it, and play it. And I've been kind of into it. Like, it's Outer Worlds is interesting because I feel like the game part of it, I've kind of played it before. It's kind of like what? Like, it's kind of like Fallout meets BioShock, kind of like that, yeah, type of thing for me. And it is a little bit shooty shoot, but there's a Bobby Blackwolf mode. You can play it on like a story-based mode that's very easy. Your first ability you get lets you slow down time. So it's really easy to like zoom in and hit people. Super easy. So I'm loving that. So I don't have to worry so much about the game side of things and experience the story. And that's the part where in The Outer Worlds, it's really, really well done. Like almost, I mean, I don't know because I haven't played much more than like the first 30 minutes or hour of the game. So I can't say like, oh, it's better than Mass Effect. But like the choices feel like they're richer than like a Mass Effect. And you don't necessarily know what's the good choice, what's the bad choice. You just have choices, and it really like plays out the story in different ways so much that I'm like, ooh, I wonder what would happen if I went back and picked that choice instead. So, yeah, I've been into The Outer Worlds for that reason, actually. So, yeah, Questbuster says, Outer Worlds was so fun. There are a lot of neat decisions you can make. And Bobby says, I like story mode. I'm about 9 hours in. That comment from our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Well, here's the thing. So because I kind of set up Xbox Game Pass so I could play The Outer Worlds, then I was like, oh, yeah, I have Xbox Game Pass. I should go play these other games I've been missing out on too. So the one I've actually spent the most time on, I think, probably so far this week is a game called Bloodstained.
I love Bloodstained.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't I talk about this before when it came out on the Switch? Yes, but I kind of put it away really quick because the Switch version had its issues. And all I was reading about, which the issues weren't like gigantic, but it was just everything I was reading was, hey, just we're working on it. We're going to put out some patches. So I was like, well, if they're going to patch the game, then fuck it. I'll wait for the patches to come out. Well, in the meantime, it came out on Xbox Game Pass, and I was like, well, I want to just play on the PC. I'm going to check it out here. So I've been playing it. I'm actually like, I'm really enjoying it now that I'm like finally getting into it and playing it. Like, I got past the little pirate ship level or whatever you'd call that was first, got to the actual castle. That first boss was so hard. Like, am I just bad? Because it took me a while to figure out how to beat that guy. My God. Like, for a first boss.
Down.
Yeah, you really, like, and I think that's what it took. I really had to study, like, wow, what is, okay, why am I doing so bad? You really have to pay attention to that pattern. And then I got a soul that really helped. Like, it made this giant drill type of thing. So,
oh,
like,
yeah, that's the best. Dan used that most of the game.
Okay, that drill made it so much easier to beat that guy. So that was about that. So, yeah. So, yeah, I was checking out Bloodstained, and I've been really into that. So as far as, like, you know, having that Symphony of the Night feel and so forth, yeah. I mean, I don't know if any game is ever going to touch Symphony of the Night, but Bloodstained's pretty rad. Like, I'll give it that. I am going to shade one thing, though. So for all, like, the shit this game has gotten for technical issues and stuff, sure enough, as I'm playing the game – and I had maybe been like 10 minutes since my last save. I'm going through the castle. I go up to read a library book because you can read these books and it's how you learn how to do some of the special moves and stuff, or you might get a little bit more of the lore. Mm-hmm. I go up to read the book and bzz, game crashes.
Yeah.
Which I thought was supposed to be a problem with the Switch version that they were fixing, but apparently it was in the PC version too, or at least the version I was getting on Xbox Game Pass. Because somebody either tweeted me or told me on Discord, like, oh, it might be a Steam version versus a, you know, something, whatever, is it Epic Store, wherever else the game is out. And I'm like, oh, but there's actually another one because I'm getting it on Xbox Game Pass. So anyway, that was annoying, but it only happened to me the one time. And now I've just been really good about saving as much as I can, which I really try to do in games.
Save
anyway.
Often.
I know, but that was really, that was irritating. Another game I checked out was a game called Minit, M-I-N-I-T. So it's like a black and white RPG. It has very much an old school computer look to it. Like, it looks like you're playing on an Apple IIe or like, you know, one of those like really old computers. Mm-hmm. But obviously you're playing with like your Xbox controller. And the whole catch is that once you pick up the sword that kind of officially starts the game, every minute you die and you restart. Now, as irritating as that sounds, like most roguelikes, although this game is not a roguelike, it's a very linear type of thing. Any, like, let's say you go into a new house, you'll start from that house. Let's say you find a new item, you'll have that new item when you start your game. Let's say you got, you know, so everything you kind of do makes it so that you don't have to progress that part again after you die and restart. So it's an interesting little twist in it. So it's kind of like part roguelike, part adventure game. I do feel like it is a very simple type of game where it's like, go to the lighthouse. The lighthouse has the flashlight so you can get through the cave. The cave gets the duh. And it's just kind of like, you know, the one thing leads to another. But it's not too linear. Like, there definitely seems to be some branching, some ways to go. You can explore the map and so forth. So it is like, it's a cute game. I think it only retails for like $8. Which is probably about the right price.
Which one again?
Minute.
M-I-N-I-T. It was free just a few weeks ago on Epic Store.
Oh, was it Epic? I don't know if I grabbed it when it was free on Epic, but it's on the Game Pass, so I just grabbed it there. It was like, I thought I heard about this game, so and it sounded like something up my alley, so I checked it out.
It's also on Switch.
Yeah, and I've been into it, so that's for sure. Metal Mayhem's confirming what you said. Minute was a freebie on Epic a while back. YYR is telling me to play Supermarket Shriek on Game Pass. I've downloaded it. I just haven't gotten to it yet, but it is in my list of like things to do.
That's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah. Now, the other game I checked out was, and I don't know why I downloaded this game. I was just like, oh, it's free. Well, I can finally try it. So I decided to play Marvel vs. Capcom Unlimited because, yeah.
Was it, oh, Lord worthy?
It was a choice that I made.
Was it New Infinite?
I was like, well, that was 45 gigs I just wasted. Look, it has a story. I don't know. I want to sit here and go, it's not that bad. There's other fighting games I could be playing. Why not just do Capcom versus SNK2 on Game Pass? How about that? That would have been a better use of my bandwidth. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I put unlimited. Yes, thank you. Marvel's Capcom Infinite.
I said Infinite.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I don't know why I put Unlimited. But yeah, Marvel's Capcom Infinite. That's the one I've been playing. So, yeah, I loved it so much I couldn't even remember the name. Metal Mayhem says, free where? Not really free. It's Xbox Game Pass. So you have to be paying for the Game Pass, and then you get it there. But, I mean, as I'm using it more and more, I'm definitely, like, getting some of the value out of Game Pass. So that part I'm appreciating because I'm not dropping $20 or $10 on a copy of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite just because it's on sale. Like, I appreciate that I was able to download that and try it for myself and be like, ooh, I'll just play Street Fighter 4 next time I want to play a game like that. So anyway. Dark Tetsuya says, get Dragon Ball Fighters. That's probably better. It's not on Game Pass yet. That's kind of the reason I've been visiting these games, because I'm like, well, I should get some value out of this. So I've been trying to get the value. So there you go. That was my gaming week and essentially my week and my day. So let's move on. We still have some news to get into. And I want to get into the news. So,
ooh, Costume Quest is free right now. I want that.
Oh, on the Epic Store, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And Soma.
Loki, let's get into some gaming news.
So, you know what Bethesda needs to do for Fallout 76, what everybody's been asking them to do, paywall some more bullshit for it. That's what they need to do. And that's what they did with Fallout First, their $99 subscription service. That's $99 for a year or $12.99 a month because it's super affordable. So what do you get for your $99 a year? You get Private Worlds. So you can play in a private world exclusively for you and up to 7 friends. Problem is, it doesn't fucking work because anybody on your friends list can join your game. So that's all fucked. Unlimited storage for crafting components in your own new scrap box container. It was deleting your items. It's great. New survival tent, a placeable fast travel point with a stash, a sleeping bag, and more for basic needs. I don't believe that was working either. You get some stupid atoms, 1,650 atoms per month, which, to quote Angry Joe, you can't even buy blue for that. One of the colors for your armors is actually more than what that is there. It's $20 for blue. That's stupid. Ranger armor outfits. So they had the special ranger armor that, and we're going to get into this, how this is also kind of working against the people that bought that, and then some unique emotes. So obviously, people were not too thrilled about that. And unfortunately, because of that, actually, people that are paying for this service are actually getting some shit from people that aren't buying the service. So when they see, you know, players wearing these exclusive armors or whatever, they're kind of getting harassed a little bit, which is not a good thing. But basically, you know, one of the things that also kind of goes against is they were talking about before that the, and they've even promised that all of the enhancements that they would do to the games, or all the stuff they would sell through the Atomic Shop, would not be, it would just be cosmetics only, not like pay to win. But then again, they're giving you now the ability to basically have private servers and to have unlimited storage, because storage is a problem in the game. And now you can pay for that problem to go away. A problem that they created, by the way. So it's just, it's ridiculous. I don't know why they thought this was a great idea, but I don't know. And now the people, you know, some fans of the game are saying, well, this is kind of a slippery slope, because now that you have this service, if people take advantage of it, they're going to start piecemealing more things off of it. And here's the even the worst part about it. Like, so to go along with this, they had that whole update that they were going to do where they were going to be introducing NPCs back to the game. Well, that got delayed. It got, that part got delayed. So the actual meaningful updates to the game delayed. But let me sell you something else.
I don't want to disrespect the Fallout fans out there, and I'm really sorry that your game has turned out this way, but like, shouldn't Bethesda at their point just cut their losses and move on? Like, shouldn't they just, like, let's just...
They're going to milk this thing dry.
Let's just take what we've learned from this experience and apply it to future games so that we don't end up in this type of situation ever again. Like, wouldn't that just be the best course of action for Bethesda? Or is it just one of these, they must be facing such pressure from their investors to make this game happen? And to be fair, other games have turned their asses around. Like, Diablo 3 fixed itself. No Man's Sky fixed itself. Final Fantasy 14 fixed itself. So, like, Fallout 76, like, I feel like desperately wants to join that club. But then they make moves like this where it's like, oh, P.S., your whole stash gets deleted when you use it. Where it's just like... That's not how you're going to win the people over. That's not how it's done.
And it's like, who even wants to, like, give this a try anymore? Like, there's been so much shit regarding this. So much, in fact, that Australia has said, you know what? We think that some consumers were misled and that we're going to actually require that Bethesda, or ZeniMax in this case, to... actually refund some of these players. So apparently, if anyone asks for a refund in Australia between November 24th, 2018 and June 1st, 2019, can now receive that refund. They said that, of course, if you receive the refund, you'll be no longer entitled access to play the game. But apparently, you know, some people that were asking for refunds, problems with servers, lagging, graphical, visual problems, were told that they couldn't get one, but apparently Australian consumer law says otherwise. So if you had made that request, now it's time to actually get that refund. If you haven't, you're kind of out of luck.
Questbuster in chat says, it goes deeper than that. Some fans were upset with Bethesda's direction of the Fallout series for a while now, and the bugs, and Fallout 76 was the last straw for them. Fallout First just made things a lot worse. And some folks in chat bringing up that everybody wants to be Fortnite. YYR saying, the investors and higher-ups want games as a service. Every game should be a service with recurring charges, ideally. Bobby says, exactly, works for Fortnite. ActDev says, Fortnite is popular and making money. Do the Fortnite so we can get more money. not, quote, attributed to investors by.
Yeah, but then you can't sell your game for $60. Like, if Fallout 76 was a free-to-play game and they wanted to go the Fortnite route, I think people wouldn't be so, like, harsh about the, you know, the $99 subscription fee or anything
else. A Fortnite is not a $60 game.
The problem is that it's like, here's a $60 game. Oh, and then we want to sell you these cosmetics that are, like, $20 each. Oh, and then we want you to buy this shit. Oh, and then we want you to buy a $99 subscription service to a game. That, like, is this going to be even functioning in a year? I mean, like, why should I drop $99 on this game? Like, I don't know.
And look, I do understand to an extent that there's going to be boardroom pressure to mirror the successes of other games, but, like, Fortnite started from somewhere. Why not create the next big thing in gaming? Because, believe it or not, you know, every year we're talking about these new games and these new things that happen in gaming. They come from somewhere, and I feel like, you know, I think Fallout 76 is kind of a gone thing at this point, but let's say this Starfield or this Elder Scrolls 6 comes out. If Elder Scrolls 6 is a great fucking game, then that's what people are going to be talking about, and people are going to want to play it and talk about it.
But look at, like, okay, if you want to compare your game to Fortnite and you want to compare, you know, like, how they have it, don't just look at the microtransactions. Look at how the game plays. The game is polished. The game doesn't have that many bugs in it. Fallout 76 was fucking broken when it came out. There, you cannot compare. You can't say, well, we're going to set the same type of shop and we're going to have the same type of success. You got to have the good game to get the people there that want to actually play your game, because right now it's fucking broken and just promises of, like, roadmaps of, and that's the bad thing about it. It's like a lot of these games of service stuff, even with Anthem, have these roadmaps because they come out incomplete, broken pieces of rush shit. And then now it's like, oh, but we promise it'll get, you know, better later. Pay us another $100. I mean, fuck that. Why should I waste my time?
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, wasn't Final Fantasy XIV $60 and then a monthly fee? To be fair, I think it was $40 and then a monthly fee. But I think it is worth saying there are two games, maybe three if you want to get technical, that can get away with doing that right now. That can charge an upfront fee and then a monthly fee on top of that. But it didn't stop everybody else from trying to mirror that, right? Hello, what was it? Rift. Hello, God, there's so many other, Tabula Rasa, Star Wars Old Republic, Elder Scrolls Online, and all these games that tried to do the same thing and flopped.
And correct
me. Two games have succeeded with that model.
And there's a little difference, too, because we understand with...
I'm putting 11 and 14 in the same bucket.
We understand that, like, a game like Final Fantasy XIV is an MMO, which I know you could say that, you know, well, Anthem and these other games could be like an MMO, but... I believe that Final Fantasy, and I know that was the case for 11, they're not selling cosmetic items. It's that monthly fee, that's your price to entry.
Incorrect.
Okay. But they're not shoving it down your throat.
Correct.
Like these other games.
Correct.
Okay. 11 didn't sell cosmetic items, that's all I have to go by.
14 definitely does, but, like, it's a fucking fat cat as a mount. Like, it's fucking adorable. And they do says, but so does WoW. WoW has their mount store too. So
they sell expansions. So it is, it's a different model than this games of service. But here's the thing. It's like with the games of service stuff, like you have Fortnite, which is free to play. And then they have their, you know, season pass or not their passes, but they're kind of different, seasons that they do with different things that you can get for loot, and you can pay for skins and stuff like that. So they have that model. Then they have the model where you buy the game and you play online, and there's other, like, cosmetics and stuff. And then you have, like, subscription services and stuff. Fallout 76 wants to do all of those models at once, and that's where it's fucked up.
And here's the thing also about 14 that's very unique is that the original product came out. It was garbage. The company had to apologize for it, and they fixed it. And, you know, I know not everybody is going to understand this or believe this, but this is a hill I'm willing to die on. This is a hill. I'm gonna die on this hill. I'm dying on my hill. Final Fantasy 14.
That looks like Pikachu.
My microphone.
You're killing Pikachu.
Final Fantasy 14. Some of the best story in any MMO or any Final Fantasy game. Put it on my tombstone, pepperoni and sausage.
All right.
Now I want pizza. Thanks, Rob.
And that's why Final Fantasy XIV gets away with it. And in many ways, World of Warcraft's the same thing. It's got a story that many, many people love and adore, and they've made their guildmates and all this stuff, and it's their life. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, when Alan and I were first dating, we used to quest in World of Warcraft, and that was like our date. I know it sounds weird, but that's the type of stuff you do when you have like long distance between you sometimes. And so, like, you know, World of Warcraft had a really engrossing story where you could do things like that too. I think that's why, in particular, those two games have gotten away with it as well as they have, because they're both extremely polished games. So, anyway. Moving on. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Was that it on Fallout 76?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on before I die again. Let's.
I'd rather you not die.
Let's talk about Death Stranding, because that game is kind of like going to be the hot new thing of this week. And the reviews are finally coming out on Death Stranding, and we finally kind of fucking know what the game is. And it sounds like Death Stranding...
I still don't know what it is after reading the reviews.
It's Fetch Quests is what Death Stranding is. It's Fetch Quest the game. It's Amazon Delivery Boy the game.
With babies.
With babies. But it sounds like...
Amazon babies?
It sounds like it's... obviously, I'm oversimplifying it. It sounds very interesting that you have to kind of like actually balance yourself as you're going through terrain because of the big load that you're carrying. But, you know, you have to like be very careful not to
don't
like
fall in the baby.
Over, yeah, or kill the baby or I don't know, things like that. It's interesting because the more and more I read these reviews about like, wow, this game's story is up its own ass so deep. I'm like more and more like, I really want to play it.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
The more I hear about like Kojima has successfully eaten his own ass in a video game and he's put it on screen for us all to enjoy, I'm like, I want to play that. This self-indulgent garbage, it's art. Like, I want to play it.
It is time to indulge in some Kojima ass.
It kind of is. Like, the more and more I hear people hating on this game, I'm like, it sounds awesome. Like, when somebody said, what was the review I read somewhere where it was like, it's the classiest walking simulator you'll ever play. I'm like, I love walking simulators.
There was one. There was one I read. I gotta find the quote. It was something about like it was from Giant Bomb. They had a great quote.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get this for you, but it was here we go. Giant Bomb, Death Stranding.
Johnny Wufei in our chat says, I have my life-size baby in a jar with absurd game pre-ordered. That's where I'm at. I'm at this point where I'm like, okay, like. I can appreciate really bad cinema. Like, if this is that, like, as a game, I'm kind of into it. Like, right now, I can't believe I'm saying this, especially after giving this game shit for so many years of, like, where's the game, right? Now that I know what the game is and that it's apparently really ridiculous, I really want it. Like, I don't know what it is. I can't explain it.
That sounds a lot like me wanting my pink Game Boy Advance. I don't like pink, but I wanted it for reasons.
Bobby Blackwolf with this comment says, apparently it's the Dark Souls of walking. A little rock can trip you up if you don't hold L2 and R2 perfectly. The Dark Souls of walking? That is, put that on the box. That's amazing. The Dark Souls of walking.
Where's that quote? I gotta find it. It was hilarious when I read it. Here we go. Jeff Gerstmann, 2019. It's part American Truck Simulator, but also Quap.
I fucking love Quap. Let's do this. Oh my god, I can't wait for Death Stranding.
This is re-fucking ridiculous.
Don't you kind of want it, though?
I know. I told you already that I want it.
I don't even know what the game...
Look. Even Dark Sakura, even the harshest of harsh in this house, even her cold, black, recently operated heart...
They didn't work on my heart.
You were unconscious. They might have. Even she is
I would
like...
I assume I had one.
I'm kind of into Death Stranding all of a sudden.
It's not an all of a sudden thing. I was already really into it.
I still don't know what it's about.
I think it's going to have my psychological fix for what I'm lacking from Silent Hill not existing in real life anymore.
Loki, we're going to explain what this game is about. Look at me, Loki. Look at me. The Dark Souls of walking.
It's a metaphor. As all Kojima things are, it's a metaphor.
Tiger Claw in chat says, who knows? Death Stranding could be your game of the year for 2019. It might be, but isn't that going to be interesting if it ends up winning awards at the Game Awards? How's that going to work?
You know, I could
Jeff Keighley's in the game, and he produces the Game Awards. Like, aren't they going to say shenanigans if this game wins?
I mean, it could also be the violent diarrhea of video games. I don't know, but we won't know until we try it. It's like ice cream. You look at the ice cream, you think, wow, that could be really bad for me. This is really rich and I'm lactose intolerant, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you eat the ice cream, mm-hmm. not knowing if it maybe has some mm-hmm. acidophilus strains in there that will help offset the lactose. But then again, you might also have violent diarrhea because of it. That's Death Stranding. Potential violent diarrhea, but delicious while you're consuming it.
Did she just say... Never mind.
Eurogamer calls it Hideo Kojima's first post-Metal Gear game as a messy, indulgent vanity project. But also true original.
Well, I'll go for it.
Yeah, I'm all about vanity projects anyway. I mean, Madonna's Madame X was kind of a vanity project as well, right?
Kinda.
Anyway. YYR in chat is asking, why is the diarrhea violent? Apparently you're not lactose intolerant. All right, moving on. Wow, look at that. Wait. My stream deck just showed we just lost 3 viewers. Good job, Dark Sakura.
You know what? They can get over it.
All right, moving on. You know what? They'll just have to rejoin and watch that pre-roll ad and we'll get the coin. All right, moving on. Dark Sakura.
Oh, fucking A.
Get us back on topic.
Topic like we ever had one. So how about something that doesn't have anything to do with violent diarrhea? Nintendo Switch. It actually has already, of course, surpassed the Nintendo 64's sales in April, and now it looks like over the holidays it's gonna pass over the SNES for sales. It will need 7.43 million more sales to pass the sales figures of the Super Nintendo. And I mean, in last year, the Switch sold 9.41 million units. So, 2 quarters to go. We need to see what's going to happen. So, that means it's right now 11 million away from its target, which is by fiscal year ending in March 2020, which would be 18 million Switch units. So, of course, we also have the Switch Lite. You know, definitely cutting into the expense of the full unit. I mean, but, you know, they've also been doing just really quality games. I mean, not just, you know, Link's Awakening that just came out, like, not long ago. But there's the Fire Emblem Three Houses got great reviews. You know, it's a pretty great system. And on top of that, it's very versatile because you can carry it with you and play it on your big screen, which is what everybody wanted. So... there you go.
Yeah, and Nintendo Switch is great. And it's so weird to think that, like, it's at the point where there's going to be more of those out there than there were Super Nintendo. Because it always feels like Super Nintendo is, like, the greatest system of all time. I still feel that in my heart. But maybe that's because I was 12 years old and Super Nintendo was, like, the new thing. And so I think whatever system, like, you associate with, like, your junior high and your early high school, like, formative years, you're going to think is the greatest console of all time, too, probably. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
There's always the Sega Saturn.
But anyway, I'm kind of like, oh, it's weird to think that we're already at a point where the Switch is going to outsell that. But that also is because more and more people are gaming, right? You know, like the only people that don't understand gaming at this point are boomers. Okay, boomer.
Yeah. You would be surprised.
No, I know. And I just wanted an opportunity to make a cheap joke at the boomer's expense.
Okay, boomer.
But I think more and more, even in that age group, are getting into gaming. And I think more and more people, you know, gaming is just a part of culture now and is a part of art that we partake in. So it's just interesting, like, how fast the Switch has hit that point when it sometimes felt like, oh, this nothing could ever top the Super Nintendo, even though actually a lot of systems have since topped the Super Nintendo in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, by the way, do you know why I started smirking while you were reading that story? Because I realized the whole point of me bringing up Death Stranding was to tell you guys that, oh yeah, it's also coming out on PC.
And you forgot to mention that.
And I never mentioned what the actual story was about.
Sorry,
just so we're clear, just to back up a little bit here. Oh yes, as I said, Death Stranding is to get a PC release. Yes, that was the original point of the story.
Summer 2020.
Yes, if the PlayStation 4, if for whatever reason you still don't have one, you're like, oh, I'm going to skip it. I'm going to wait for PlayStation 5, or you're just strictly a PC gamer. Well, guess what? Death Stranding will also be out on PC next year. From what 505 Games is doing it, right?
Yes.
Some people are actually pissed off about this news because they were promised that it would be a PlayStation exclusive, and now they're very irritated.
Why are you mad at something that's not exclusive?
I don't know. Maybe
how dare you get to play the game I like, too, on another platform, damn it.
I think it's a fanboy thing. Like, when you've been defending Sony and all this stuff all this time, and you're like...
Well, they're the ones that okayed it.
I mean,
if you think about it, are you mad that, like, you know... Detroit Become Human and all those other Quantic Dream games are on Epic Store?
I was at first, but then I didn't care. At first, I was afraid. I was petrified.
Nope, stop it.
But, yeah, I don't, maybe somebody in our chat wants to give insight on that, because I just don't think that way. I'm just like, yay, more people get to play the game. That's cool. And honestly, the PlayStation still has a big old 6-month window for people to experience the Dark Souls of walking all to themselves. So
I can't wait to check out the Dark Souls of walking.
I don't know. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says they are afraid this means that Sony isn't committed to the console. What the news about the PlayStation 5 didn't show that the PlayStation 4 has a lifespan? That PlayStation 5 is indeed coming? And honestly, to Bobby's point and everybody else out there, like, Sony kind of has to be a little more committed to PC because of where Microsoft is positioning themselves. Because Microsoft is about to step into this world where it's going to be, you know, Xbox is more the ecosystem that you experience either on your PC or on your, you know, television via an Xbox console as a delivery or via the cloud. I actually would go so far as to say it would be foolish of Sony to not consider getting in on the PC side of things as well and finding that right partner to do so that maybe isn't necessarily Microsoft or depends how they want to play that game. So anyway. All right. Let's move on. Loki, let's talk about games that won't happen.
And this is not the first time this has happened, but EA has canceled NBA 2K20 or NBA, I'm sorry, NBA Live 20. I can't believe it confused that. What two NBA franchises are out there. But yes, NBA Live 20 is not coming out. They said, we're not launching a new NBA Live HD product this season. Instead, we are expanding our vision, leaning hard into the new leading edge platforms and taking the time to ensure we deliver against the opportunity for our players. So maybe extra time to... I don't know, develop for the new platforms that come out next year. I mean, that's good, I guess, instead of just rehashing, you know, roster update 2020 or something like that.
Yeah, it would be very disappointing if, like, the PlayStation 5's version was just, like, the PlayStation 4 copied with some upgrades. So if they're taking the year off to really bring us, like, a really souped-up NBA. Because I could see this, you know, as much as we here at OLR don't always get into the sports games, you know, we don't do the deep dive on those all the time. Although, I don't know, like, I still love NBA Jam. And, you know, there's always going to be Tecmo Bowl. There's always going to be those sports games that kind of, like, buck the trend, right? Blades of Steel. But the reality is we don't usually do the deep dive on the sports games. But the reality is, when it comes to E3, when it comes to that big press conference or whatever it is where Sony's going to unveil the new console and so forth, it is going to help them to be able to show off, look how pretty the sports ball is. Because there are a lot of people out there that the consoles are, it's their Madden machine, it's their NBA machine. These are the games they fucking
live,
play.
And Live has been kind of, I think, their weaker of the sports franchises that they had. I mean, really, 2K kind of rules the NBA franchises stuff, but I don't know. I know it's been kind of iffy in the past. 2K kind of gives it a run for its money, but 2K's been kind of sucking too. So,
well, some folks in chat.
I don't know. I have really low standards for sports games.
Some folks in chat are quick to bring up WWE 2K20, which apparently...
No. I know that's a hot piece of shit. I mean, I've seen the videos, so yes. And that's what happens when you have no competition. It's just, it's completely fucked.
It's the Dark Souls of wrestling games. It's the challenge, like, playing it.
It's just, it's all sorts of messed up. Yeah.
All right. Well, pour one out, I guess, for NBA Live 20. But, I mean, if it makes the next NBA game that much better, I think we can go 1 year without. I think it'll be okay. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's move on and talk a little bit about, since we're talking about the next round of consoles, our next story has to do a little bit with the next round of Xbox and what Microsoft might have in store, and one of the people that's going to be helping them out with the development of games to their console. It's Ubisoft. Apparently, Ubisoft is developing 5 games for Microsoft's new console. This is from an earnings call where Yves Guillemot, I hope I said his name right, who is the Ubisoft CEO, he announced that they are working on 5 games for Microsoft's next Xbox console. 3 of the 5 titles are Watch Dogs Legion, Gods and Monsters, and Rainbow Six Quarantine. They've talked about these games previously. For example, I know that Watch Dogs was a big part of their E3 this year. So these 3 games will be released both on Xbox One and the Project Scarlet, whatever that is. But apparently the other 2 games have yet to be announced. Now, the only thing about this whole thing is that I thought all Scarlet games were still going to work on the old Xbox hardware. I thought that was a thing that Microsoft promised. Or was that only for their own games and they can't talk about third parties? Did I misinterpret that? I thought, I don't know. So to be determined, we really won't know until they unveil the console, because they could change any of the rules, quite frankly. It should also be noted, Ubisoft has delayed several games that they've been working on, and this could be part of the reason for the delay is that developers now have time to create next-gen versions of the game, because we're in this interesting little in-between period. So I don't know. But it should also be mentioned that as part of this earnings call, only Xbox Scarlet was mentioned, not PlayStation 5. Ubisoft has typically supported both, so this could mean something. It could mean nothing. We don't really know until they officially unveil these things outside of just an earnings call where they're trying to tell the investors we're working on something, but we can't give all the details just yet. So interesting. We'll see what develops from here. But I don't know. Anything you guys are reading in the tea leaves about this with Ubisoft working on the next Xbox but not being so explicit about PlayStation or any of this? And I open this up to the chat room as well for your thoughts.
I'm so sick of rumors. I mean,
Well, to be fair, this isn't a rumor. It's on an earnings call. It's just like, what do you read into it?
But still, I don't want to read anything into it until I have something concrete. I mean, that's really how I am with any of this stuff now. Because we've been burned before trying to follow this. So I'm really just reserving judgment.
Some comments from our chat. Questbuster says those are the same 3 games that they delayed following Breakpoint's less than stellar reception. Yeah, the Breakpoint game did not quite live up to the expectations they were hoping for. So, you know, but I mean, every studio has that one game, it seems like, that doesn't seem to go over so well. So I don't know, maybe, but certainly they don't want to do it again. We'll see. So, all right, moving on. Let's get into our next story. Dark Sakura.
Well, speaking of things that are getting out, Kohl's has their Black Friday 2019 ad leaked. It's got stuff in it that's very interesting. So their deals are going to be actually pretty good. I think last year's were really good too. But right now, they've also been pretty universal for what they do. So what their Black Friday promotion is right now is that you get $15 in Kohl's cash for every $50 that you spend. And so this means that when you put that along with their doorbusters, you're getting like another like 60 to whatever bucks that you can spend on other things too. I mean, not that I'm, you know, putting theirs up, but theirs was the leaked list. So for the doorbusters that are having this year is a PS4 1 TB Fortnite Neo Versa bundle for $200 with $60 in Kohl's cash. So effectively, when you apply that cash to it, it's $139.99. Xbox One S 1 terabyte with Jedi Fallen Order for $200, again with the same deal, and then a Switch with a carrying case and controller charging dock for $319.99 with $90 in their Kohl's cash, so $229.99. The Jedi Fallen Order bundle looks like it's probably going to be the big one a lot of people go to, but the Switch one is pretty okay. Especially with, you know, the incentive of their little Kohl's cash deal.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think a Switch is normally about $300 anyway. But yeah, if you're like, oh, I want to buy new clothes on top of it, it's a pretty good, like the cashback or whatever, the Kohl's card or whatever it's called. It's pretty good deal.
And it doesn't, it looks like that not everyone's going to be super aggressive on it. Because I think that people are already kind of aggro on wanting the new systems anyway. If they are gonna buy them, they're gonna buy them.
Yeah, I was gonna say this year is the swan song apparently for these consoles, because next year we'll be talking about PlayStation 5, whatever the next Xbox is, come the holidays. So I mean, that's a real, like, there, that's a deep discount on both those consoles. So if you have still not got on board, which is fine, you know, not every gamer has that kind of income to buy the latest and greatest consoles. Sometimes you have to get your games through garage sales,
which is pretty steady,
and that's fine. But these these consoles are a way to get on board if you and especially now with the rich libraries both these platforms have.
Well, both. What about the Switch? That's three.
Well, but the Switch is also a little newer. And that's what I'm saying.
The Switch is
a different spot.
They're not really They're not really pushing anything super aggressive for their marketing for the Switch because they know the Switch is going to be a seller. I mean, that's just going to go without saying. But I mean, the other two, I don't know that that's really a super aggressive deal for either of those either. I mean, I'm repeating my words now, but I'm not really convinced that that's like the most aggressive way they can push it. Like, as the, we need you to buy these because they're going to be gone, blah, blah, blah. I don't get that feel off of it.
Well, but to be fair, this is also only the first of what is many Black Friday postings to come. And, you know, the rest of the holidays as well. This is going to be the time. Still, sub 200 is a pretty darn good way to get in to both these systems. So, I'm sure the deals are just going to be even better at other places too. So, it's that time of year when we get into the sales. I can't believe November's like already here. It's crazy.
My mommy's birthday is in 2 days, and I don't know what to get her.
Well, happy early birthday. Get her a Nintendo Switch. I'm just kidding.
Would be like maybe I'll get her an NES.
Well, I mean, you can always get a device. I mean, as silly as it is to have a PlayStation or an Xbox,
she wouldn't be into it.
But you could you use them as media centers. But maybe
already got a Blu-ray player for my brother.
Yeah, and I was going to say maybe a Roku or something like that is a better option.
I'll send her a NES.
Yeah.
She used to sneak into my room and play mine enough.
Oh, there you go.
No, I don't know.
Get her one of the NES classics if you can find one.
Anyway. We'll see.
All right, we'll see. All right, well, moving on to something that is sunsetting. It's no longer going to be around. And actually, I got to say, this one kind of surprises me, kind of doesn't. I'm sorry. This is your story, Loki. My bad. Bringing it up going, oh, hold on.
Yeah, so apparently PlayStation Vue is going to be done at the end of January. So it was Sony's kind of a TV offering, and I did try it out for a little bit. Wasn't all that impressed, especially when Comedy Central went away. And apparently it just hasn't been doing that well, I guess. So they said that for the inactive paid subscriptions will receive their final charge for PlayStation Vue in December 2019. Unless they cancel prior to their billing date, they'll be able to watch until January 30th. But yeah, they said they're going to remain focused on their core gaming business instead of this.
Interesting way to set the tone in advance of the PlayStation 5, because I would have thought, I realize PlayStation Vue has not been doing so hot, especially because they have not been landing the right channels. You know, they've been and maybe that has more to do with the general shift with people are kind of canceling their cable in favor of piecemealing the Netflix, Hulu, CBS, Disney, all this stuff. Somebody added it all up. It's like $90 if you want to get everything that's out there right now. It's a month. So, but anyway, people are kind of piecemealing what they want that way. I don't know if it has to do with like cable going away or whatever. But it's going to be interesting when the PlayStation 5 kind of rolls out. Like, is there going to be an emphasis on TV and media and that sort of thing? We all know famously when the Xbox One was debuted, and this was part of the reason that, you know, they kind of got shit for that reveal, especially Don Magic, because the message from that early, early reveal, if you guys remember, was TV, TV, sports, sports, sports.
But I don't even know if the Xbox One ever, like, kind of fulfilled that promise that they were going to do with, like, their... Even like with the Windows Universal apps and stuff like that.
Dial back that whole introduction, remember?
Yeah, but even like with the Windows 10 Universal apps, do they have like the support that they promised to have in there? Because like I thought there was supposed to be all this additional functionality being added to the Xbox One with those Universal Windows platform apps that were supposed to run on the Xbox One natively, but I don't think that ever happened to... I mean, I know Skype and stuff sort of works in there, but I don't think there's been, like, large support for that.
I don't think so either, but it's probably something that just isn't a priority right now while we wait on the next Xbox. That's my guess. Some people are going to miss View, by the way. Kaijudo in chat says, I'm going to miss View. It was great. It had HBO, Cinemax, Stars, all the Disney channels. Just scrolled off. Darn it.
Disney's not going to be on there anymore.
It had picture in picture. The basic plan was worth it. All they were missing was Viacom, but no one watches MTV and all that trash.
Well, Disney's not going to be on there anymore, so I'm assuming. So they're going to lose that. And then who knows? I mean, the other ones.
Yeah. By the way, Bobby wants to point out there has been support for that, what you're talking about. That's how AntStream Arcade is on Xbox One, for instance. It's the same Universal Windows app that's on PC. HoloLens will also run the Universal Windows app. Does AntStream work on HoloLens? That's kind of silly but fun. So I guess they can. That does make sense because there have been other things I've played on PC that are just like 360 or excuse me Xbox One. So interesting. Anyway, let's move on. Now Loki kind of stole the thunder on this earlier, but that's okay because this is more of a silly quick thing. But the official trademarks have been filed for PlayStation 6, 7, 8. 9, and 10. That's right. Trademark applications have been submitted for PlayStation 6 through 10 in Japan. Obviously, they already did 5. But you know what? PlayStation can keep this naming convention all the way through PlayStation 10 if they want.
And I fully look forward to the wonderful gaming articles we'll see once the PlayStation 9 comes around based on the original commercials that they had.
Dark Tetsuya linked that old commercial. I thought it was a little bit too much of a deep dive to play here, but you can Google it if you want. It is interesting. There was a commercial around the PlayStation 2 era that was trying to show off, here's what the PlayStation 9 will be like. And it was trying to show like the future of gaming. And I think the whole point of the commercial was the future starts here with the upgrade from PlayStation to PlayStation 2. And then they set this path for PlayStation 9 that was, you know, it was the holodeck basically. As gaming gets one step closer and closer to the holodeck. So it is interesting to note that PlayStation may keep these naming conventions all the way through PlayStation 10. Of course, they don't have to. They can just trademark these names and not
do
use
nothing
them.
Yeah.
There's nothing making them do that. So it's a little bit of a non-starter, but people are, you know, making some jokes about it. And that's why I made a little joke about it in the sidebar with my extreme enthusiasm for this news. But it should be noted that Sony does have a history of future-proofing the console strategy. In 2006, which was the year that PlayStation 3 was released, that is when they trademarked both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. So PlayStation 5 was confirmed 14 years ago from when it's going to be released, basically. So... anyway, not too surprised. You know what? PlayStation has that mechanism. It works for them, so why not? Bonds 006 in our chat says, name squatting. It's not so much squatting when it's you doing it, but I can also see where they want to prevent other people from doing it. But at the same time, I don't think I could just go in there and say, oh, I'm going to go trademark PlayStation 11 because they haven't gotten to that one yet. Like, I wouldn't pass the test. Because Sony would be able to challenge that, and it would cost me a lot of money in fees, unless I had used the name PlayStation somewhere else. So it'd be very, very silly. But I do get what you're saying. Like domain squatting and all that stuff is a very serious issue out there, and you know something that is a bigger problem on the internet, but bigger than we can get into right now. But what we can get into right now is a much simpler time. Why talk about the PlayStation 6 or the PlayStation 10 when we can all go back to an era before even the PlayStation 1, a very...
We could go back to something that didn't come out in America.
That's right. We can go all the way back. So every week, Dark Soccer likes to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking this out, the classic game of the week. But once a month, Dark Soccer has to find a soundtrack as she mixes it up a little bit and does the classic soundtrack of the month. And since we've been gone for so long, I think we hopped from soundtrack to soundtrack, right? Because
yeah, kind of.
Did we get a September? Or excuse me, did we get an October soundtrack?
I think we did.
Yeah,
I'd have to look, but I could always do another one. Whatever.
I know. Well, anyway, I'll go check our wiki. Because they know more about this show than I do.
Right.
But I know we have a classic soundtrack of the month tonight. And this is interesting because you're still sticking with your 8-bit theme, but you went to a very different console.
I did because, I mean, most of the people are familiar more with the NES of this.
Uh-huh.
But I think that the better soundtrack is on the MSX too.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I picked Metal Gear. I'm kind of on a weird Kojima kick for reasons.
I can't imagine why.
Well,
it's art!
Explosive diarrhea. Anyway. But anyway, and I specifically went, though, for the MSX one because the MSX2 really did have a much better sound processor. I mean, it was a damn computer, for fuck's sake. So, I mean, but I really enjoy the music. It actually said that it's had a three-person composer team of Mizutani Iku, Takenouchi Shigehiro, and Furukawa Motoake. I wouldn't say that the NES version was a bad translation, but it wasn't all that good. So going back to Mizutani, he actually did quite a bit of music for other games and created the sound driver at Natsume, and did a lot of work for the Super Nintendo. But other games he did was Russian Attack. Of course, there was Metal Gear. There was Snatcher. For PC-88, Snatcher for MSX. Looking for a few other games that people might know better. Shatterhand. He did some Sentai games. Dragon Fighter. Quite a few other ones. Renegade, sound director. Furukawa did... looks like worked on Gradius and Salamander. So, I mean, we got some pretty good, you know... talent working on this game, you know, before some of the other titles came out. And as for the MSX itself, the audio for it was actually really, really good. They had MSX audio, which was released. So it had the Yamaha Y8950, you know, nine channels of FM or six channels of FM and five drums. Had hardware acceleration to bump up the sample rate to 256K for audio RAM. So, I mean, it was really just a good little machine for when it came out. And a lot of, you know, the music ability had was, I mean, it was standard for all the MSX Turbo R computers, but it was built in on all the MSX2 systems. So, really just... good music, and I think that Metal Gear, being, you know, such an early title for Kojima, he had such like in-depth direction over the whole game that you can feel his influence in with the music composition as well. I mean, really, it's one of, I'd say, the better video game soundtracks out there, not just, you know, for MSX, but in general. It really fit the game. It brought, you know, the action to life. That music really felt like it belonged to the stealth genre in particular. So, and of course, we got some boss fight music in here.
I thought I had it within that first minute, but I don't.
I
know
might have just been talking over.
Yeah, I think you were talking over it, but yeah. I mean, I love the boss fight music in this game.
And
really,
I wouldn't.
Good. I think the clip I got ends with a boss theme too, but it's like a 9-minute clip, so we may not get there. Well,
and I wouldn't say that the NES music was bad by any.
No,
you know.
And it's what we all kind of remember too. It's very interesting how butchered this game was in the U.S., but yet it still sold so well here. It sold so well, in fact, that they ended up making that whole Snake's Revenge that Kojima kind of. Was like, that wasn't my game.
I wish I could find that documentary that we watched. But the really interesting thing about it is that, like, basically people were like, yeah, this version isn't good. We want you to do another. Please, 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 please. Like, fine. And he did another. And then, of course, it became really the one of the series that totally, you know, pushed his career. And then, of course, you know, Snatcher didn't really sell that well when it came out. But it, you know, of course, picked up that cult following. And then we got, you know, the more deluxe versions of Snatcher. And then, you know, Police Knots was really out there. And then we got Metal Gear Solid. So, you know, I think that all of those games really, though, have this to thank for it. In the direction of just that level of storytelling and environment that was created. And I think music goes a long way to creating that environment.
Is there a way to play? Because I noticed this particular streamer is using like an English version of the MSX.
Oh, yeah, there's ROMs
but
out there.
I thought I remember hearing there was a, like, they put the MSX version of Metal Gear in, like, Metal Gear Solid 3 or something like that.
Yes. So
I thought I remember that was a thing that I heard.
Going back to that, there...
Because I've never played the MSX version, and I would really like to, just because I loved the original Metal Gear when I was a kid. But then when I found out, you know, obviously years later, that, like, holy shit, like, they completely changed the last boss in the game. I always thought it was weird. I was like, why is Metal Gear just like this big computer you kill with explosives? Because the mapper they used or something couldn't handle the actual Metal Gear looking mech thing.
So, just as an FYI, there was a port of the MSX2 Metal Gear for phones through Konami's NetDX service in Japan as a promo for Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. And it, the updated port also, it says it served as a basis for the version included on the second disc of Subsistence, which is the expanded edition of Metal Gear Solid 3 for PS2, and then HD edition for PS3 also included it, and the Vita version. The MSX2 Metal Gear was also released as a virtual console download for Wii in Japan. The ROM used the ROM was used for an emulated re-release. So there you go.
And they're confirming that in chat. ActF says MGS3 Subsistence has it. Johnny Wufei says it should be on the HD collection.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, Dan certainly has played through it. I sat and played through it for a little bit. But honestly, it's... If you're in the house and someone else is already playing something, it's sort of like, why the fuck am I playing it? But...
Well, neat to highlight the MSX version, too, so you can hear the differences, especially when I think so many of us are familiar with the NES version, which, again, isn't bad, but it just wasn't quite the same thing as the MSX version. So it's kind of interesting to go back to the roots of where the series was at. So,
well, and also, I mean, there was so much cut out in the NES version. And I think that, of course, graphically, the MSX2 just ran circles around it because, I mean, hello, it's a computer, and it had more capability than the NES did. So, and honestly, I think that if this game had been made originally for NES instead of MSX2, it might not have even gotten the following that it did. So mm-hmm. I think because it had such a big following for MSX2 in Japan that it led the way for the NES one, and then, you know... That's my theory. I can't articulate it quite well right now because of drugs.
No, you're fine. All right, so there it is, your classic soundtrack of the month, Metal Gear, but specifically the MSX version.
MSX2.
MSX2, excuse me, version of Metal Gear. So there you go. And I did want to say, just to clarify, I did a little research, and the very last OLR we did before the break, you highlighted DuckTales October's pick for sound. Of course, I know how much we forget in 3 weeks of being gone, but there you go. So, all right.
I think I need more coffee.
So, all right. You need more coffee?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, sadly, I don't have a break tonight. We're going to get right into rapid fire news. Maybe Alan can help because I hear Alan just got back. Oh, Alan, somebody in chat wanted your take on this. Can I bug you to come on the show? Come sit on Pikachu's lap. Okay. Hi, Alan. It's always nice to have you here. This is this is my other half, Alan. Hi.
Thank you, Matt.
So there was some questions in chat because we were talking about Diablo earlier in the show. And I don't know. Have you been following the news that came out of BlizzCon and all that stuff with, like, Diablo and all that?
Not with Diablo. I just know that it's a thing. They finally are giving us Diablo 4.
Well, because you were super into Diablo 3, so somebody in our chat specifically asked, what was Alan's take on Diablo 4?
I haven't seen any. Like, wow. I've never seen this.
Oh, you didn't even look at this gameplay trailer?
No.
Or
anything?
Well,
no.
Now that you...
Well, I mean, it's Diablo.
But look, druids. They have druids now, and he turns into a bear. He goes, rawr, and he smashes everybody. Rawr, see?
Well, I mean, it's kind of... I mean, it's probably like Witch Doctor reskinned a little bit, or Barbarian reskinned a little bit. Like, I mean, there's only so many powers, but however, like, I'm not being a hater. It's just, you know.
Oh, it's okay. So you're just not well-researched on Diablo. Yeah, what have you been playing then? I'll bug you on that real quick, and we'll get back to
I mentioned this last time I was on the show. Doom with Project Brutality 3. I've been playing Postal 2. Because I found
that is random. What made you get into Postal 2? Because I can't not associate that series with the terrible movie.
Well, is that guy still around, that director?
Uwe Boll?
Yeah.
He pretty much got laughed out of the industry.
Okay, it's fine. Because I subscribe to a bunch of modding channels, like Skyrim mods.
He watches a lot of YouTube, you guys.
Yeah,
a lot.
Like I have YouTube Red because I forget that.
The only person I know with YouTube Red. Wait, Loki wants to jump in.
I'd like to add, as of 2016, Uwe Boll is no longer a film producer. He's a restaurateur.
And he's a food critic.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Anyway.
Get him on.
Although he opened a restaurant called Bauhaus, and that makes me happy.
I want to see Gordon Ramsay go to his restaurant.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, get him on Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I'm on these YouTube channels that showcase mods, and when you watch those in your recommended, it will be like mod for whatever, and then I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, or like I haven't thought, like for example, I haven't looked at Oblivion or Skyrim mods in like 3 years. So the next time I go onto the Nexus, it's going to be like, oh, there's 2,500 mods that are neat that I can check out. That's kind of how I discovered Project Brutality 3 for Doom. So I saw something. I saw that they patched in Running with Scissors, patched in when you go to the mall to meet Gary Coleman. One of the stores said, closed for renovations, opening October of 2016 or 2018 or something. And in 2003, that's funny because that's 13 years from now. Well, guess what? It's now 15 years in the future. So they actually went and made, well, I guess it's 2016, so we better go patch in. So I saw that, and then I realized, oh, they put out an actual, they retconned Postal 3, and they put in an expansion to Postal 2. I think it came out in 2015. It's called Paradise Lost. They supported, Running with Scissors supported Postal 2 with an expansion 13 years after the fact. And
that's,
I was like,
cool.
Oh, that's neat. So then I fell down that rabbit hole.
Especially when they're up to, like, what, I see Loka looking up.
Yes, four. But have you played Postal 4? No regrets?
I haven't. I'm going to wait, because right now you pay for early access, and they're basically like, it's post-alpha. There's not really, like, there's some quests. It's obviously they're trying to recapture the magic, I guess, if you'd call it that, of Postal 2. I'm gonna let that. I think that if you eat raw dough, you'll get sick. So I'm gonna let that bake in the oven for a bit. It looks great for like a proof of concept, but I'm not that much of an early adopter. So no, it looks neat, but I'm gonna
wait for the mods.
I'm gonna abstain. Well, it doesn't have to be modded necessarily, but it just came out. Postal 4, no regrets. So.
All right. Well, you are the mod king of OLR as far as, well, I don't know. Loki likes mods too, but you really like mods. I feel like maybe it's just because I live with you, but you are really.
Well,
up
it's
and
why
up
it's why it's like I. There are other reasons why I don't like to play on console. Just I like the coziness of my monitor, my two monitors, and being at my desk, and it's like this little bubble that I'm in, whereas playing on a couch in a living room feels weird to me.
I like it.
Because I like to alt-tab and like look at Twitter and stuff and not be on my phone. Mm. So I'll just like pause Doom and go look at Tumblr or whatever. I like that. You can't really do that on console, or you can't do it well. You have to have a tablet or something.
One other question for you before we move on with the show.
Sure.
Have you been, I noticed you've been kind of like watching, we have like that giant green screen that separates our office.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to kind of like poke around to see what I'm doing. And I noticed you've kind of been like surprised, like, oh, Rob's playing like Bloodstained, or he's playing like things that aren't Final Fantasy 14. Like how has that been?
Well, yeah, because I know, you know, I can't really recall what the last new game was you were really psyched, because you have gamer ADD and you'll buy stuff the week it comes out, and then you'll play it for a couple days, and then you won't play it again.
Drag me, expose me.
And then if I'm like, oh, when are you going to beat No Man's Sky, or when are you going to beat, and obviously I'm trolling you, and you'll say, never, fuck off. Like, you know, that that was 20 days ago. I'm literally never playing that again. So yeah, aside from 14, I don't really know what you've been playing. So when I saw you play Bloodstained, I'm like, oh, that came out like 6 months ago. Why are you playing that? You play that the first week it's out, and then never at all.
Because it was on Xbox Game Pass, so it was a chance for me to go back and visit it. I'm not playing it on the Switch. I'm playing it on PC.
Gotcha. Okay, it makes sense.
All right. Anyway, we got to get back with the show, but thank you for coming on and giving us your updates. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's been a little bit. So, and you're coming to New York with me next week, so that'll be fun. Get to meet some of the listeners. Sounds like we're going to do that. And get to see some shows, so I'm really excited about that. All right, thank you, Alan. All right. Let's get into some rapid fire news and talk quickly about some other things happening around the industry this week. Loki.
It's another month, so there's more free things that you get to look forward to. So if you are a PlayStation Plus subscriber, you'll be getting Neo and Outlast 2 for the games for November. That's from November 5th through December 3rd. And then on the Xbox side of things, Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter from the 1st to the 30th, and The Final Station from the 16th through December 15th. And those are Xbox One games, and of course the Xbox 360 compatible games. Star Wars Jedi Starfighter for the first half of November, and Joyride Turbo on the second half. And then last but not least, Epic Games has more free games. Remember to check the back every single week, because they've got new games that keep sorting through, cycling them through. This week, of course, to go along with Halloween, we have Costume Quest and Soma. So those are free until November 7th. And then they think they had next week's listed as well, but I have to pull these up real fast. But yeah, definitely keep an eye on that. I tend to grab things even if I have no interest in actually playing them, because you never know. You never know when you might want to do that. Nuclear Throne and Ruiner are going to be the week after. And those actually, I think Ruiner sounded pretty cool. I think I already have Nuclear Throne, though. I have Soma and Costume Quest on Steam already, but whatever.
Why not?
Have it on all the platforms.
All right. Moving on, let's talk about The Witcher, which I forgot to mention. I actually reinstalled Witcher 3 because I totally forgot to mention on my good old games. I got on a kick with Covert Action again. I had a bug to play Sid Meier's Covert Action, which I have on GOG. And so I was playing that a little bit. That's one of my favorite classics. I'm going to do a Covert Action stream sometime so I can explain why I love this game so fucking much. But then I was like, once I installed GOG, I was like, Witcher 3, I need to play that again. And so I actually spent a little bit with Witcher 3 until I got sucked into Bloodstained. But I need to go back and play more, because I got like past the tutorial and I was doing like the first couple quests. And so I didn't even like get into that in my gaming week, but there's just been so many weeks that we've been gone. But a lot of people are still talking about The Witcher because some more information came out about the Netflix series, which, to be fair, is not based on the game. It's based on the books, which also the game was based on, so it's not directly a video game thing. But then they showed that trailer that has the bathtub scene recreated, which is all anybody ever wanted, was for Henry Cavill to recreate the Geralt bathtub scene. That will be happening in the series, to the delight of many. That will be on December 20th is when the Witcher series is going to be coming out. Did some of you guys watch that new trailer that came out?
I did.
It did? Yeah, it looks pretty
interesting.
Good. It looks pretty good. So I'll be curious. There was also a panel that they did recently, and that the show is going to focus on Ciri and Yennefer more so than Geralt. So that's kind of interesting, because the games focus on Geralt. So there's already a little bit of a difference right there. But we'll see what happens with that. The other thing I had to talk about, we kind of got into already earlier in the show. I will just mention Pokemon Sword and Shield leaks are out there. That's right. Some information is leaking on the new Sword and Shield games. Again, I want to respect those that are staying away from the leaks, so I'm not going to detail all of those. But if you want to go look at what are all the Gigantamax Pokemon that are in the game, that information's out there. It sounds like just before the show, Shane was texting me about the complete Pokédex information is breaking as well, as to what Pokémon have been cut and how many Pokémon are there. Last I heard, though, that was still developing, as I think it was there may be more after you beat the game and question mark. So there may not have the final version, but at least we have plenty of Pokémon confirmed that are in the game. So I'll leave it at that. And then you can also see some of the new, there's not, I think we all saw the Ponyta, or Ponyta. We saw that new form, the Galar form of that. There are some Galar forms showing up for other Pokemon, and you can go look at those as well. The complete evolution line of the three starter Pokemon are out there as well, if you want to go searching for those on Twitter and look that up as well. The internet has a lot of that stuff out there. Or just private message Shane directly. He will be happy to talk your ear off about all of the leaks and all that stuff. Because, and this is so funny, because he told me, he said, the leaks are coming out. I'm getting off the internet for 2 weeks because I can't read any of the leaks. And then I shit you not, like 4 hours later, I read all the leaks and it started to get pictures of all the Pokemon. And yeah, so that didn't last very long, but that's all right. I understand. These games are just around the corner and some people are getting very excited about it. But the leaks are out there. So if you're trying to stay away from the leaks, you may have to have a little more restraint than Shane had with that. You're going to have to really stay off social media. In fact, some of that is probably already crossing your dashboard. So hope you can avoid that until the game is out. Anyway, moving on. Dark Sakura, what do you have?
I have just realized that I can actually understand more Spanish while I'm high as a kite than I can when I'm sober. I don't know. It's like how I am when I read French. Soul Calibur getting a new character. They just revealed Hilda, who, honestly, I totally freaking love her outfit, but she kind of makes me think of Cersei in Game of Thrones, Chair of Swords, just with her whole armor and dress and short hair thing. But anyway, there's not a release date for when she's going to be out, but, I mean, she looks pretty cool. Yay. And then also, The Outer Worlds has credits that include D&D characters. That's pretty cool. I'm actually trying to see. John Cotto's fifth edition campaign, Happily Ever After. Like, okay, well, if you're D&D. I've actually written stories based off of D&D characters, so.
I think that's why they were credited, because I think they were playing D&D to get inspiration for their game. And so because, like, you know, and they actually had characters that died in their thing. And they have a whole tribute section in their credits. I think a lot of it is supposed to be for real people that passed during the making of the game. But they kind of gave the nod to the D&D characters, too, because the D&D campaigns creatively shaped what ended up being the Outer Worlds. So I just thought it was kind of funny. Like, you know, you don't always see, like, fake characters credited in games, but I thought it was cute.
There's a lot of stories out there, though, that are based off of people's role plays and fan fiction. I mean, yes, 50 Shades of Shit was based off of, you know, Twilight fan fiction. But, I mean, if you want to go back further, one of my favorite anime series ever and novel now that I'm reading, Record of Lodoss War, was built off of a tabletop roleplay game. So, I mean, just as an example, some of the characters that I'm putting into the novel that I'm working, I'm not officially doing the national novel writing thing, but I'm starting on
Nanarimo or whatever?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Oh, that's right, it's November. It's supposed to be Nanapodmo for some people, too, the daily podcast thing. I always say I'm going to do that some year, and then I forget.
Well, at any rate, I can't speak.
D&D.
Yeah, but there are characters from old D&D campaigns of mine that are totally ending up in my story. So, just saying.
Pixel Pacas in chat says daily podcast. Yeah, it's not so much for like gaming podcasters and news related things, but there's a lot of like personal podcasts out there. That was a rabbit hole I fell down some time ago, and I thought it was very fascinating, like especially like some folks in the LGBTQ+ community that I know like had like daily podcasts that were more like, they're almost like blogs maybe, but they're like audio blogs. And so there would be some folks that would do these that would participate in this daily, you know, November thing where they basically putting out a podcast every day. And it was interesting. It was like hearing somebody read their live journal entries, but they were kind of like talking through it. I always thought a podcast like that might be interesting, but I also don't think I'm that interesting. But I thought maybe if I had like some topics I could talk about every day where I could like mix in like, here's my life and here's my funniest moment from the second grade or something, like I could maybe fill out 30 days. But then I'm like, I should take that energy and focus on the podcast I have. Or several, because, I mean, there's been oftentimes I have two or three podcasts running at once, but, you know.
So. Oh, we still have things to talk about.
I know. There's always more ideas out there on the table, that's for sure. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of some games that will be coming out very, very soon. We'll start in the U.S., Loki.
Yes, lots of stuff. So Just Dance 2020 coming out on the Wii. Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. That's right. Isn't Stadia right around the corner?
The 19th, question mark?
Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 on Nintendo Switch. Planet Zoo on the PC. Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC. Volferis on PlayStation 4. Death Stranding on PlayStation 4. Disney Zoom Zoom Festival on Nintendo Switch. Golem on PlayStation 4. Layton's Mystery Journey. Catriel and the Millionaire's Conspiracy Deluxe Edition on Nintendo Switch. That's a mouthful there. Need for Speed Heat on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. New Super Lucky Tale on Nintendo Switch. And Volferis also coming to Xbox One.
All right. Heading over to Japan, looking at the PlayStation 4, Death Stranding is clearly the big release this week in Japan as well. There's also a brand new PlayStation 4, it's 1 terabyte, a PlayStation 4 Pro 1 terabyte hard drive, Death Stranding Limited Edition, also coming out in Japan, which I think we're also getting anyway here in the U.S., I don't think there's any major differences between the two. But Death Stranding is the big release. There are a few other minor releases in Japan this week, such as a Fortnite Darkfire bundle. I don't know if Fortnite quite enjoys the same popularity in Japan, but they do have a localized version of it themselves. So you can pick up the Darkfire bundle, which I guess would be more like physical release of the game. You can pick that up for about $30, but the equivalent in yen, over in Japan this week. And then I think that's really it. Oh, there's a Need for Speed game this week too in Japan. Need for Speed Heat is also out this week in Japan. That's for PlayStation 4. Looking quickly at Nintendo Switch, I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything there. The Fortnite bundle is there as well. And then there is, this is a mouthful. Are you ready for this? Sumiko Gurashi, the movie.
I have a notebook with those little animals on it.
Yeah, the pop-up book and the secret child. Let's play the worlds of picture books in a game. That is the full title. That is out on the Switch this week, as well as The Fruit, Labyrinth, and Eden of Grisaia, full package.
Some people like a full package.
The Fruit, The Labyrinth. Oh, it's an anime game. Of course it is. It will include the prologue, the after story, the short scenario, the Leisure of Grisaia, the Afterglow of Grisaia, and the Melody of Grisaia. I wonder if it's a repackaging of older games. But anyway, that is what your release dates look like in Japan this week. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
On the 4th, we have Grip Combat Racing Ultimate Edition, Just Dance 2020. We have Northgard on the 7th. Also on the 7th is Will, A Wonderful World, which actually looks kind of cute. Jumanji, the video game, because of reasons. Stranded Sails, Golem, only on PlayStation, looks like. A Siberia Trilogy. I wonder if it's the old Siberia games. I have to look. Horizon Chase Turbo for PlayStation. Capcom Home Arcade. On the 7th, Need for Speed Heat, Nintendo Switch Lite, how do you pronounce the fuck out of these? Zacian and Zamazenta Edition, Tokyo and Sonic at the Olympics Games Tokyo 2020, Super Street The Game, Death Stranding, Disney Tsum Tsum Festival, there's a bunch. Layton's Mystery Journey, Catriel and the Millionaire's Conspiracy Words. That is it for this portion of the week. Although there's a game coming out next week that just is absolutely fascinating. The Unicorn Princess.
Yay.
I kind of want to play it just because it's the Unicorn Princess.
Why not? All right, let me get into a few comments, and then we're going to get into the mailbag, because I think we're a little bit behind.
Oh, never mind. It's a shitty little tween game.
Okay. We have a lot of emails to get into tonight, which we're going to participate at orangelaunchradio.com. But first, I want to read some comments on the release date stuff. Johnny Wufei says, I'm glad Doom got delayed. Too many releases this month, LOL. Yeah, Death Stranding is this week, and then next week is Pokemon, and so it's really ramping up as we get closer to Thanksgiving and the official kickoff of the holiday season. Shopping season anyway, so yeah, November is always a crazy month. And then Pixelpock is confirming that Grisaia, that game I was talking about in Japan, is a visual novel series. Some are available in English. Bobby Blackwolf also pointing out Google Stadia is next weekend as well, so you also have a console, I'm using my quotey fingers, also this weekend, although that is only the Pro one that or the Chromecast one, right? Not you. The 2020 is when you can just fire up your browser and do Stadia that way, right? This is the special Chromecast bundle one. So
I'm rushing right out to go get one of those.
I'm curious to hear what other early adopters think of it, and I'll What, Destiny 2 is like the game? I don't know. I'm just kind of like, okay. I'm like, I can already play Destiny 2 on PC, but I still am very anxious to hear about the technology and all that, so I'm trying to keep an open mind, so very curious to hear what all that is in store. Okay, so we are going to get to the mailbag. I think we have a lot of emails to get to tonight. And because because we forgot to do it during the Classic Game of the Week segment, I want to make sure we open up the community gift chest here on Twitch. So for those of you that are watching live on Twitch TV, you can contribute to the gift chest. And you can actually, if you're a Prime person, you can contribute some gifts to the gift chest, and we will give them away in our chat here. It's all through the Twitch mechanism of the community gift chest. So that is open and will stay open through our mailbag segment. And hopefully I did that right and it is actually open, because I'm just looking at it on my screen right now on the dashboard. Bobby will tell me if I did it wrong and he'll fix it. in the meantime, Dark Sakura, let's get to the emails.
Hey guys, it's Flea here. By the way, this one is from the 20th. First off, I want to say how much I enjoy your podcast. Look forward to listening every week. Oops. I was listening to your discussion last week about the Blizzard China controversy, and I'd like to put my two cents in. I'm a little baffled at the outrage online regarding the action that Blizzard took against this player. While I support free speech, BlizzChung signed a contract that he would not speak in a way that could offend anyone or damage Blizzard as a company. And the contract specifically mentions that doing so would lead to a forfeiture of the prize money and a removal from Grandmasters. Blizzard has a legal obligation to follow through, and these terms are not met. It's very obvious now that what BlizzChung said has dragged them into political discourse of what is happening in Hong Kong, and Blizzard upholding their contract has damaged their reputation, which is ironically what this clause in the contract was meant to avoid. I will say that I'm glad Blizzard walked back their penalty in the end, and I hope they amend their contract to be more forgiving in the future. I really find it disingenuous that the gamer population who in September were tripping over themselves to buy the new iPhone. It's another one of the Apple whatever, you know, are doing that. I don't want to fucking read this email.
No, we okay. Dark Sakura's a little bit on the meds. We did address many of the points in the email, but I do want to make sure the listener is able to express their
points. Shipping over themselves to buy the new iPhone from Apple are also holding Blizzard to a separate standard, and all they did was take away prize money for an eSport, which Apple banned an app designed to keep protesters safe and could actually save lives. No, that's not the fucking point. This is a tough time as companies are navigating if they're going to uphold the standards of free democratic internet or if they will censor themselves to comply with the censorship of the Chinese internet. We need to remember that there are people behind these difficult decisions and mistakes will be made. Anyway, enough ranting for me. Thanks for everything you guys do. It's Flea. P.S. I included the text from the contract below that pertains to why he was banned. Engaging in any act that in Blizzard's sole discretion brings you into public disrepute, offends a portion or group of the public, or otherwise damages Blizzard's image will result in removal from Grandmasters and reduction of the player's prize total to $0, in addition to other remedies which may be provided under the handbook and Blizzard's website terms. It's still so subjective.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like I did address a lot of these points earlier in the show. I just want to make sure, you know what? It's where every gamer has a voice, so...
And I'm just like... It's my brain right now, just...
Yeah, it's fine. But here's the thing. I do want to make this very clear, is that I'm a little less on the BlizzChung thing, especially ever since they dialed it back to the 6 months. I still think it's a little bit much, but what really irritated me is when you put this side by side with how they treated the Overwatch League issues and what's been going on over there. I felt that this was way too extreme compared to what was going on over there, and that is really kind of like the root cause. And I mean, just add that onto the pile of – you know, everything else where Blizzard is misstepped. I just feel like I've given Blizzard so much loyalty, and a lot of these things, these actions are starting to make me question, well, why is that? And so, again, I'm not boycotting Blizzard, but I just want to see other people for a little while.
Well, and on top of
and
that,
let Blizzard handle their issues.
Keep in mind,
People are so quick to point the finger at the biggest other company there is, but they're not the only one doing this. You know, they're two completely different things. It's a game.
And it's also the thing where it's like you can invoke Apple, Microsoft, Amazon. You can invoke whoever you want to invoke, but they are separate issues. And I think you have to kind of assess what works for you and what doesn't work for you.
And again, like I said, in its core, it's a fallacious argument. It's absolutely fallacious.
I also completely understand, for example, like I know the gals from Girls Gone Wow because they just put out two episodes from being at BlizzCon. I haven't been able to listen to them yet just because I've had a busy weekend. But I know they went and they had a great time. They were smiling big in their pictures. They got to meet a lot of community members for the first time. Am I going to be upset at them for supporting Blizzard because they shut down? No, I'm not. Absolutely not. I'm actually like super happy for them that they got to like – be celebrities, the celebrities that they are, at BlizzCon and meet all those new people. Because I also realize at the end of the day, BlizzCon is very much like a family gathering for some people. And so that is, you know, like their moment. I think the Blizzard handled the protests and all that appropriately, such as we mentioned earlier in the show, when the protester kind of went to take the mic. They had their system set up to just let that person talk, not shut it down, you know, and do that whole thing. They were pretty professional about all that. And we didn't even talk about the protests outside, but I was actually surprised that a respectable number of people showed up. It wasn't like massive protests, but there was like 30, 40 people that showed up and they were chanting and they had signs and they were giving out. I thought this was very smart. They were giving out free t-shirts for people to wear inside. So that way when they showed up on the cameras and stuff and they would have the messages on there, I thought that was really an intelligent way to do a peaceful protest. And I think at the end of the day, that is also the most important thing. All the protest was very, very peaceful. We're not hearing about any type of like, you know, unfortunately, we're not hearing the level of the protest we're hearing about in Hong Kong, just very matter-of-factly. And so that part is really cool. And I am not one to judge anybody on how they want to spend their money and so forth, but I'm just saying this is why Blizzard and I are getting a divorce for now. But maybe in 6 months, we'll get back together. Oh, I didn't fully address the part of the email, the Blitzchung thing. And I kind of said this on the last episode, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I feel like a more appropriate punishment would have been suspend him for one or two games and just have him not be able to do on-camera interviews for 6 months. If that had been the ban, I would have totally understood it. But one more thing I'm going to say, look at what a company like Wizards of the Coast, who, by the way, also is distributed by Tencent in China, has handled a very similar issue recently. Wizards of the Coast had a player that won that made a very similar statement in his winning thing. And you know what Wizards of the Coast did about it? Nothing. And they also have the Tencent presence in China. So it's just, but one could argue it's because of what's happened at Blizzard has caused this conversation and other companies to look at it. And in fact, has had a positive change in that regard. So anyway, I will shut up now and not double back on this topic too much, but I just wanted to get that out and give a respectful response to the email.
I'm not trying to be bitchy about it right now. It's just that I think people are trying to pull an argument that has nothing to do with it. So thus. Anyway,
I do want to also mention this because this is J100 Matt says there was some positive Hearthstone news from BlizzCon. And I did hear about this. This is really cool. Leoun, I hope I said the name right. I'm sorry if I butchered that, has become the first woman to win a BlizzCon title because she won the Hearthstone championship.
Oh, good.
Congratulations.
Mazel tov.
That's right.
Next email.
Break the ceiling. Yep, next email.
Hey, OLR. I had read so many glowing reviews of Link's Awakening that I decided to pick it up on launch day. I may be in the minority, but the game hasn't lived up to the hype for me. It's certainly a faithful remake. If anything, Nintendo stuck too closely to the original. By the way, Nintendo didn't do it. Keeping its dated gameplay intact. I'm having to constantly consult guides to find the next dungeon or even the next key. The items are so far fairly rubbish, and the NPCs feel like random cardboard cutouts stapled together from different games. What is new are the toy box style graphics, which are beautiful until they begin to move. When outdoors, the frame rate drops to a distracting level, and I say that as someone who doesn't normally even pay attention to technical details like that. I didn't notice any frame rate issues. Did you?
I've noticed some stuttering. Like, it's not major, but it's enough to go, oh, that was a rough transition.
Yeah, weird. I vaguely remember playing Link's Awakening DX on Game Boy Color back in the day. I'm sure it was good compared to your average Game Boy title, but to be a $60 Switch game, I think it needed a little modernization. What do you think of the game? Am I being overly harsh? Forever a loyal listener, Elliot B. Everyone's opinion is their own opinion. If that's how you felt about it, that's how you felt about it. You know, for us, we were pretty excited about it. We wanted the nostalgia, and I think a lot of that money that you're paying for it is for nostalgia. The Dungeon Maker thing is pretty fun. You know, Dan and I just, like, went around looking for Easter eggs and we did the whole thing from memory. No guides at all. We didn't do any guide until, like, doing the hero playthrough. So, I mean, that's the fun of those old-style games like that, is the exploration. We didn't have guides yonder and when. That was the fun of it, is that it brought back that sense of how much this do we remember? Is it really the old friend that we knew, you know? And I think that that's where the game is really banking on, is that nostalgia factor. And if you didn't have the nostalgia for the original game that that other people do, then it's definitely going to color your experience with it.
Yeah, honestly, bottom line, dude, you're allowed to like and not like whatever you want, and it doesn't mean, like, you're allowed to be wrong once in a while. No, I'm totally kidding. Like, you know, it doesn't mean that you're wrong. You know, that's what opinions are. And, you know, like, I know I've seen that movie that, like, everybody loved, and I was just like, what? Why does everybody love this movie? I'm going to give you a good example.
I love Xanadu.
I feel like I'm...
And everyone else is wrong.
Okay, I feel like I'm expected to love this movie, but when I saw Call Me By Your Name, I was like, it's not... Like, it took... It was slow.
It's very artsy.
I didn't really like it until the dad's speech at the end. I'm not going to say anything about that, but I was like, that was the best part of the whole movie, and that was only like 2 minutes of it. You know,
I like the book.
There's always going to be it's art. Art is subject to interpretation, right? And sometimes your interpretation is going to be different.
Sometimes it's different when you're seeing it with Shane.
And I'm he has a way of influencing. But I'm sure there's plenty of video games. Is there a video game? And I open this up to you guys in chat too. Is there a video game that everybody loved, but then you played it and you were like, I don't get it. Like, why does everybody like this?
I don't really like Bionic Commando that much.
The original?
Yeah.
Oh, girl. Okay. All right. We all got opinions.
I didn't like Metroid when I first played it.
Oh.
I'm just being honest. I didn't
Gay
care.
Gasp.
I didn't like it when I first played it.
No.
Well, I liked it better now as an adult.
I
actually didn't like Metroid until I played through the Guardian Legend.
It's also interesting to point out, and I would be curious, Elliot, if this ends up being your experience too. Not that you're obligated to go back and play it again, but you might. But, like, I know that, like, one game I played and I didn't get it at first, and I didn't go back and play it till like 5 years later, and then I loved it. Mass Effect. The first time I played Mass Effect, I was like, I don't get it. Why do people love this?
Here's the thing. I didn't actually like Link's Awakening the first time I played it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was very fun.
Mm.
I like it now as an adult. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a much more solid game now that I can come into it as a mature gamer.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, there's people who would be like, I don't like Link to the Past. I mean, some people are like that. Dan doesn't care for Link to the Past, that, you know, everyone else loves it. And it's not that he doesn't like it. It's just it's not up there, you know. But, I mean, what about you, Matt?
Mass Effect. I didn't really like that game.
And that's what Bobby says in chat. Mass Effect and Super Metroid. Is he trolling with the Super Metroid answer? Because I don't think Bobby... I never knew Bobby to hate Super Metroid. He just likes to bring up the whole stupid Chrono Trigger versus Super Metroid debate every possible opportunity. Shane is still in chat saying, I hated Mass Effect and Dragon Age at first. Even Shane hated Mass Effect.
I didn't like the first Dragon Age, but Dragon Age 2 I loved.
I'm still not as into Dragon Age as the rest of you, but I did enjoy
Inquisition.
I did enjoy Inquisition, but I never really like played through the whole entire thing.
And Splatoon.
I honestly think I like Mass Effect 3 better than 2.
Hmm.
Because Garrus, even more Garrus.
I'm trying to think of a game. I know there has to be something, but I'm trying to think of something where I was really like, I don't understand why you people obsess over this game. I'll have to chew on that for a little bit. I know there's got to be an example. So it's like I can think of so many movies, but I can't think of games this season. I'm trying to think of games that have won, like, Game of the Year type of accolades. Alan, you're giving me a look.
Dark Souls?
Dark Souls. Okay, Dark Souls. I didn't hate Dark Souls, but Dark Souls isn't for me. All the jokes from earlier this evening aside. I guess that could be an example.
I know there's movies that a lot of people I know like that I can't stand.
Yeah,
I won't watch Face Off.
I think of
it. Because it was really actually very triggering right at the beginning of it.
Oh, I do not care for the way everybody loves Fire Emblem and those games.
I don't like Fire Emblem.
I don't care for those games. Not for me.
I've never liked real-time strategy like that.
Yeah, it's like the only types of like tactical games I could really get into is Final Fantasy Tactics.
I don't even like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Hmm.
I've never liked those games like that. I mean, and even like...
Disgaea would be another one for me.
I had my hands on the Macross game for PC Engine for a while. And I didn't like it. And I really wanted to because it was fucking Macross.
I thought of the game. Persona.
I haven't played any.
I'm sorry, guys. There it is. That's the game. I can't get into it the way the rest of you can. Sorry. I've tried.
I need to play, though. Danganronpa.
Maybe. I don't know if it's for me. But
we'll
see.
I wasn't super into Danganronpa at first either, but I really like it now.
All right. So anyway. There you go, Elliot. See, we've made confessions about the games we don't understand either, so it happens. Anyway, but thank you for the email.
Sports games, all of them. Except Tecmo Bowl. Or actually Super High Impact for Super Nintendo. This is the last email. Hiya, OLR crew. This is your friendly neighborhood Mexican act deft. My last call to this show was to talk about a colossal event for Pokemon Go. I mentioned my expectations and worries about the event. Now it has happened, and I participated in it. I'll talk about my impressions of the event. The event itself was good. It was fun doing the special research to get the Regigigas, along with some of my friends. We had a great time overall, and my eyes are blurry. It wasn't overly difficult to finish. We were done after 2 to 3 hours tops and continued to raid and do some researches for special Pokemon. Even those were pretty easy to do. And again, the Pokemon that were given through those were pretty cool. I even got a shiny Skarmory. After I finished the event, I felt unsatisfied. Again, it was pretty short and simple, but it was overly simple to do. Just catch and evolve, rinse and repeat 3 times, and you were done, basically. The Pokemon spawning through the event, while good, wasn't the best or most varied. I would love to see more rare Pokemon spawn and get more shinies and really good ones for raids or PvP. I haven't done PvP yet. Many people are complaining about the shiny rates, but I don't think that should be the case here. Shinies are supposed to be rare. And again, the lack of variety on the spawns really made it kind of dull to even do the special research. Since, again, it was composed of really simple and mundane tasks. The raids were perfect, though, not really difficult. They could be taken down by a small group of 3 people with good or excellent counters, and they appeared everywhere quite often. Like, really, I think I did, like, 3 raids in the same gym during the time I spent on the event. The rewards were great, getting rare evolution stones like the new Unova stone and getting the, quote, free raid passes for the duration of the event was good. I think the money I paid for all of this wasn't worth it. We also got a pose for our avatar, which is really bad, even though I'm using it right now, but it seriously doesn't look okay. And the medal is just for showing off. I would prefer to have a Safari Zone or Go Fest one, which had some merit to it. Overall, I don't regret buying the special ticket and participating in this event. I had fun, I had a really good time, but what I got wasn't really worth the price of admission. I would have been okay paying $5 for this, but $8 seemed like the wrong price. And yeah, it's $3 only, but I could have used it to buy other stuff in game that is worthwhile or for other games too. Well, that's all for me right now. Thanks for reading. PS, sorry for sending this kind of late. Deft is Cabrown.
Thank you for the email and for the recap of the event, because admittedly I didn't do it. So I'm glad to hear that somebody did. I just didn't want to pay the money, especially because you got the raid passes. I have like 60 unused raid passes because that's how infrequently I've been raiding anymore. In fact, I just realized I just missed that Darkrai or whatever that most recent one that's been. Does somebody have an extra? Because I need one. Because I didn't raid for it. I've just been really slacking on those raids because I've been a little more like, I've all of a sudden just been more like into Ingress lately. Maybe something about the anomaly just kind of made me back into that. And I was playing Harry Potter a little bit. So I try to run my Bluetooth on Pokemon, but the Bluetooth won't like let me do the raids. So, and I just, when I heard that that Regigigas or whatever was going to be in the EX raids anyway, I was just like, I guess I'll get it eventually, or they'll be out there. I don't know. I wasn't super interested in paying $8 for what they were offering. But I'm glad to hear about your story and kind of the pros and cons about it at the end of the day, honestly. Shane might surprise you in chat there saying, I didn't do it either. The lack of special spawns a la GoFest was really the deal breaker for me. Oh, fuck. Darkrai can't be traded because it's mythical? Fucker. Well, I'm fucked. They'll bring it back. Or it'll be in a reward box or something. I refuse to believe that Darkrai is going to be gone forever. They'll bring it back at some point. They always do. So, all right. Anyway, so that's it for emails. Okay. If you would like to email us in a future episode, please send us an email. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And with that, we can stop collecting the gifts. So, Bobby, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and close the gift box there and distribute the freebies there in chat. Appreciate that. And those will go out there shortly in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Sorry to the podcast folk. We don't have any way to let you guys participate in that as well. It's just one of the little perks for being able to be here live on. Ooh, a whole bunch of stuff just went out there. Be here live on a Sunday night. I feel like everybody that doesn't have Twitch Prime ended up getting one of those rewards. Well, there you go. Congrats, you guys. Thanks. And thank you to our very generous community for distributing all those gifts. Super appreciate it. All right. Let's move on. We have some more news for you guys. I'm actually going to ask us to try to maybe take this a little bit more in turbo mode here because we're coming up on 9 o'clock. We've had a long show tonight. I want to make sure we have time to get some calls in. And I have to take Dark Sakura home tonight because she's on meds. So it's going to be a long night for me. So
there better be tacos on the way home.
That can be arranged. Let's go to turbo mode.
All right. So EA has been putting their own games on Origin for the longest time. Well, now they're coming back to Steam. So, starting November 15th, with the release of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, they will be releasing games on Steam as well. And also, they're going to be allowing the EA Access subscription service to be purchased on Steam as well. And going forward, their other games will be put on to Steam. So, that's pretty cool. And they, according to their official announcement, they're going to have some older EA releases come back as well. The Sims 4, Unravel 2, Apex Legends, and Battlefield 5 with crossplay between Steam and Origin as well. So, cool.
Do you think this is a sign EA is going to let Origin kind of go? Or what do you or is this – I don't know. Actually, that wasn't really the first initial thought I got from this. My first initial thought was, oh, this is a move against Epic. Because
probably.
Epic has really been trying to like get the more and more exclusives and so forth. So maybe EA and Steam have this whole the enemy of my enemy is my friend type of thing going on.
Yeah,
I can see
that.
Does that make sense? So it's just business, right?
Yeah, maybe. And Ubisoft left Steam to go to Epic, so you know, makes sense.
Makes sense. So interesting how this is all shaking out there. But how many of these storefronts are we really going to want to install on our computers?
I know, like, I'm not really that concerned by additional storefronts, honestly. Like, even, like, the Epic Store, whatever. It's just a launcher. I have, you know, I don't necessarily keep them launched all the time. If I want to play a game that I don't have that many games on the Epic Storefront, and the ones I do, like, have purchased there, I think I've purchased, like, 3 games. Most of the other ones are just free, which I probably have on Steam anyways or other consoles. I don't know. Who cares? It's just launching up another fucking thing. It really doesn't matter at this point.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Mixer. I know it's weird because we're broadcasting on Twitch, and we're going to talk about Mixer, which am I even allowed to do that? Of course I am. I'm allowed to talk a little bit about the competition because competition is healthy, I think. It's a good thing. And, you know, where one company goes, the other might follow. And, you know, I think it's all a good thing. It's all about the streaming world at the end of the day. And besides, there's a lot of people that listen to this show on the podcast feed and don't use either Twitch or Mixer. But I think it is worth noting that this week Mixer has dropped their subscription price down to $4.99. This is notable because they were charging $5.99. That is more than a Twitch subscription, but $4.99 is now at the same place as a Twitch subscription. So now a Twitch and a Mixer subscription will cost you the same thing. Perhaps this is because the recent move of some big notable streamers over to Mixer. I don't know. Maybe when Ninja went over from Twitch to Mixer, perhaps it was one of those things where, hey, his followers are going to have to pay more money to subscribe to him over on Mixer. Well, they're not going to have to do that anymore. So Mixer took care of that this week by dropping the price down from $1. And you get, I guess, special. I have to admit, since I do pretty much exclusively use Twitch myself, once in a while I peek at the Mixer stuff, especially because, like, in the Xbox app, it's embedded in there because it's Microsoft's thing, right? So like when I go to play something like Bloodstained, it'll be like, here are the people streaming Bloodstained on Mixer right now, which I really wish, I hope we see like a Sony and Twitch partnership thing maybe going into the next generation of games, because I know you kind of get that a little bit on Sony now, but it only shows you the people streaming natively through the console. So I hope maybe, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see what develops. But anyway, that's pretty cool that they have dropped the subscription down. I don't know what the split is over there. Do their people get half like Twitch does?
I don't know.
I don't know either. It should also be noted, Mixer doesn't have the whole Amazon Prime thing coming into play either. So there's no like freebie chance, which by the way, if you are rocking your Amazon Prime account and or your Twitch Prime or what have you, and you haven't yet used your free subscription, consider using it here at the Voice Geeks Network, VOG Network. Using it here will open up the video archive, and you can watch all your episodes of OLR and Bobby Blackwolf and the few here and there specials that we've done over the past year. You can watch all that on video. So, yeah. There you go. Mixer dropping there to be a little more competitive, especially with some of the big name streamers that have left recently. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Just some stuff. And I also do have bonus news as well. So women in France have organized. Basically, in France, about half of all gamers are women. And so being that they are completely underrepresented, though, for the 10th edition of the Paris Games Week Fair, which has actually just ended today, the organization Women in Games had a dedicated stall there. It was created in 2017 and it has 1,600 members, and it promotes involvement of all genders in the video game community. And then, did I have another thing? Yeah. That was my story.
You said you had a bonus thing.
I did
as well.
Have a bonus thing. They apparently did start. Never mind. This is an old article, so never mind.
Okay. What do you think is going to be like the long term effect of this organization in France?
Hopefully, we'll see some serious strides, because I mean, the moment anytime an organization composed mostly of women encroaches on male territory, oh shit, people get in arms. And I really want to see the binary broken, number one. And I want to see those walls broken down. I'd like for people to stop mattering what someone has between their legs or, how their bodies are built, and say, hey, this is a gamer and they have something to contribute. That's the goal.
Just one minor thing. Because I don't want the email coming in on it. Gender is not always about what's between your legs.
That's
right?
What I said.
Oh, okay. Oh, just making sure. Oh, sorry. I misinterpreted what you said. Okay.
Well, because, I mean, I phrased it exactly like that because that's not what gender is. But people focus on that bullshit.
Got it.
So, whatever.
This
is me.
I know. That's why I was like, wait a minute. I think she wanted to phrase that a different way. But that's okay. I wanted to point out, though, and I don't know, because maybe it's just from my perspective. I am a dude, so, I don't have the same perspective. But I do feel like it's getting better than it was even just, 3 years ago. But I think it's because more people are speaking up about, yo, this is fucked up. And, that we're starting to see more things like, oh, yay, we just had, a woman – break the streak and win the Hearthstone championship. And we're seeing, I think, more like men and women diversity in games and things like that. I don't know. But my perspective is not the one to hear. What do you think?
Well,
do you think we're going the right way?
We have to gain ground when we can. And I do think that there are some steps being made in the right direction. But I would like to also point out, and it's maybe about a year ago, one of my favorite podcasts, Stuff Mom Never Told You, did a series about women in video games and basically what it's like to be a woman gamer from the perspective of a gamer and from statistics. And it really is a very, very good breakdown on just what we experience, you know, down to the numbers. The thing that I like is that it had the numbers in it. And it's really, I mean, it's really the only way that, like, for example, if you're a gamer, the only way to really be safe is to conceal your gender or to pick something gender neutral. And you still get fucking ratted on, you know, and people still try to give you shit for it, you know, or being a voice in the community, you know, they're like, oh, well, you're just saying this because you're a woman, or, you know, your opinion doesn't matter, or go back to the kitchen or whatever the fuck. It still fucking happens. And as long as it fucking happens, we have not done enough.
That's true. And it's still, you know, the thing I can comment on being a gay dude is that, you know, we still hear like anti-gay slurs and stuff and happen and, you know, that whole thing. I do like to think it's getting better. But you're
imagine
right.
Imagine what it would be like
the,
to
the
be.
Fight, the soul still burns.
Imagine what it would be like to be a lesbian of color.
Oh, sure. You know,
I've got friends who have just been absolutely devastated by the language that they've received in playing games and trying to be outspoken out there on, you know, this rather treacherous water that is, you know, the internet, the cesspool, really.
But it does feel like, for what it's worth, it at least now we have more games with more representation in them, probably because games are easier to make. And so games, like, not everybody could just sit down and plunk out an Atari 2600 game, for example. And obviously I'm using an extreme example here. But now more people are kind of, like, able to tell stories, and I think that, like, helps.
I don't necessarily want to, you know, do the big comparison with the civil rights movement or anything like that. But there is a – and it was just a little meme that kind of reminded me of this fact that major changes in government and in society haven't happened until – it was made a big inconvenience for the dominant party. We didn't get ADA until people surrounded the White House with wheelchairs. You know, it took a march to Washington and, you know, big fights for school integration, the whole civil rights movement, to give people of color closer to an equal standing. They don't have it yet. It's what's happening, but it's not there yet. We still have a lot of work to do. You know, women got the votes because we were jailed. We went on hunger strikes, force fed, you know, things that, oh, well, you just see Susan B. Anthony and whatever the fuck. But people don't know those stories about women who were force fed raw eggs through a tube because they dared stand up for suffrage. You know, and you're dealing with all of this worldwide. You're dealing, well, I mean, I hate Gandhi because he was pretty racist. But, I mean, he would walk works of protest, you know. And the thing is that any kind of injustice like this has to be fought without rest. And if one person falters, someone else has to step up. And that's why I say all of us, you know, no matter what your gender is, you need to stand up and look out for the other oppressed groups because you could fucking be next. And I'm done.
No, you're fine. It needed to be said. I mean, so much for turbo mode, but important topic. But a topic we could do a whole 3-hour show on. Anyway, but we got to move on just for time's sake since we're after 9 p.m. and we still have some more stories to get to, including what Loki is going to talk about next.
Yes, and so we had talked about Xbox All Access a while back, that whole plan where you could basically get an Xbox One or Xbox One X. Game Pass and Xbox Live discounted over the course of 2 years, so you have monthly payments that you pay. Well, it's coming back as of November 18th, and it's available through different partners depending on where you're purchasing it from. I want to say North America is in Amazon.com. UK would be Game or Smith's Toys, and in Australia, they have that online at Telstra or I think in their Microsoft stores. So the way it works, it could be as little as $19.99 per month for 24 months. They are also, along with the program, you have the opportunity to upgrade to the next Project Scarlet when it's available in holiday 2020. although not for the Xbox One X version, which is weird, but they don't offer the upgrade that way. That's curious. But for the other versions, they like the Xbox One S, you can get that with an upgrade path as well. So, yeah, they mentioned Xbox One X would be $30.99 a month. Xbox One S is $22.99. $19.99 would be for the Xbox One S all digital version. So, and no upfront cost. And, yeah.
Yeah, especially, and I've been commenting on the show myself that, you know, Game Pass is getting stronger and stronger. Like, I'm actually enjoying that more myself as a consumer. So this is an interesting, you know, way to kind of jump into this, especially going into the holiday season where it's like, you know, if I could just, you know, buy somebody a year of this or whatever. I guess you're agreeing to it. It's like a contract. I mean, it's not so easy.
It is interesting, and I'd want to see more like how the interactivity with the Project Scarlet stuff and the Xbox One works before I would be like willing to jump into something like this. But it's interesting, and I'm curious to see why the Xbox One X doesn't have an upgrade path on that, but the other ones do. So it's weird.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'll be curious to see if it's a successful program and people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I especially want to see if they apply this to the next.
It does have an upgrade path. The difference is that the Xbox One S, you have to have it for 18 months, whereas the Xbox One X, it's for 12 months.
I see. All right, then. All right. Well, moving on to one more story for tonight. It has to do with Pac-Man's 40th anniversary. And Pac-Man is getting some special new things for the 40th anniversary. Namco Bandai trying to go all out a little bit. I'm hoping that means we're going to see some games in the next year. But the early thing we have, at least, is we have a song called Join the Pack by Ken Ishii, who I think is a famous DJ over in Japan. There's actually a music video out there for Join the Pack by a famous director, Yuichi Kodama, who won awards at Cannes in 2008, the International Film Festival. He also did the flag handover ceremony at the Rio Olympics in 2016. So some big names behind this. Now, sadly, you would think it's a video show. I would show you the video, but I do have to have concern about getting muted here, so I can't really play the song because it is a copyrighted song. However, if you want to check that out, I listened to it. It's okay. It's no Pac-Man fever, but maybe I'm just showing my age there. Anyway, you can check that out. Join the Pack is the official theme song there. I'm hoping this leads into some game announcements because I don't think that, wow, we made a Pac-Man song. I mean, even though they got some talented names behind it, I don't think that's really a great anniversary thing. But maybe if it's like, hey, we're going to put out like a mega Pac-Man collection, or we're going to put out like a lost Pac-Man thing, or we're going to let Arcade 1-Up make a baby Pac-Man table. How they're going to do it.
We're going to make a Pac-Man live-action movie.
How they're going to do it, because they've never done a pinball table before, I don't know, but this is the time to learn how they're going to start. But anyway, we'll see what else comes out of their 40th anniversary. But I was still kind of like, wow, is it really like 40?
Oh, my God. Why don't they make like Arcade 1-Up pinball tables, like miniaturized version of pinball tables?
Dude, wait. Like, if these mini machines are as popular as they're like, I feel like the mini Arcade 1-Up machines, like there's more and more of them, and they're getting some bigger and bigger franchises, like the Ninja Turtles thing, the Star Wars thing, which shout out if you haven't seen Bobby Blackwell's video, he put that up at on the VOG Network YouTube, which we don't talk about a lot because we don't use it a lot, but Bobby put a great little clip from his show up there with him like building the Arcade 1-Up Star Wars thing. So if you haven't seen what these machines look like, check it out over on our YouTube channel at VOG Network. But these Arcade 1-Ups are getting bigger and bigger names. Didn't they get a Gauntlet one not that long ago?
No.
Did I make that up?
I think you made that up.
I think I made that up because I want one. My bad. But that would be really cool. But I think the Mortal Kombat one I kind of want to get because I love the old Mortal Kombat games. So, but it's just, you know, again, I need less shit in this house, not more. So, the eternal struggle. All right. Anyway. There you go. So that is Pac-Man's 40th anniversary. Let's open up the listener roundtable, you guys. We're going to go to our Discord, and if you want to give us a call, you can join the green room over in our Discord over at vognetwork.com/discord, and we're going to get to some calls here on air. I'm probably not going to be able to take a lot of calls tonight just because we're already running a little late, but that's what happens when you take so much time off and then BlizzCon happens the same week that you come back. You feeling okay over there?
Yeah, had a little bit of a thing to get. Kind of having a great discussion. I mean, I got a little angry for a moment.
Sure.
But talking about the experience of women in gaming, mm-hmm. you know, Kaijudo was bringing up having a friend, well, a former friend, who was going off on a woman after having been beaten in a game. And I'm like, okay, so take that and imagine this is every experience you have with it directed at you. Every game, maybe not every game, but just about any time you sit and play any kind of multiplayer game, mm-hmm. this happens.
Right.
And it's always at you, no matter what you do, how clean of a game, how little shit you talk about people. This is the experience of women in gaming.
I do want to point out Bobby Blackwolf is justifying my Gauntlet experience, saying I did not make that up. In fact, there is a Rampage cabinet that has Rampage, Joust, Defender, and
Oh, and I have played Gauntlet. That one. Yeah. I forgot that it had Gauntlet.
So, yeah. But you were I was not maybe your brain went to Gauntlet Legends.
Yes, unfortunately that is not a thing that they have. See, yes. If they did that, yeah.
Right? Yeah, I would have been very excited.
That would be
about
pretty
that
amazing.
That would be pretty amazing. All right, let's get to some calls. So, I'm going to try to drop somebody in the on-air room, and hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Metal Mayhem. How are you?
Hey, I am great, except I'm just having to adjust the volume on the fly, but don't worry about that. That's on my end, so sorry about the echo, guys. What's on your mind tonight, Metal Mayhem? What's on your mind?
Well, I thought I'd bring up an unusual topic, mainly hoarding of digital PC games. As you know, nowadays, thanks to Humble Bundle sale, bundles, Steam sales, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's incredibly easy to build up massive amounts of PC games. And depending on the person, it can be easily justified as, eventually I'll get around to playing X game or Y game, or you never know if a certain game is going to be delisted at some point down the road, like, DuckTales Remastered was recently. That being said, do you think that, the building of these massive libraries of games can be an issue in a sense? Case in point, not to sound like a bragging, but with all the games that I have through the various services, I got well over 2,000 games. Odds are I'm probably not going to get around to playing every single one of those games, especially since a lot of them can be upwards of, say, 50 hours long. So do you think that it can be like a serious hoarding issue, even though that they don't take up physical room like cartridges?
I mean, hoarding is in some ways kind of a part of human nature. Like, I realize that sometimes we associate that word hoarding with, like, the TV show Hoarders when things go to an extreme of sorts. But I think something about the collection and collectibles, there's something I think that's kind of like fused in us with that whole thing. Case in point, even though you kind of talk about, oh, we build up this huge library of digital games on Steam or whatever service, we're using, and we may or may not ever getting around to play them. You know what? I think of houses I've gone into that have gigantic bookshelves, lots and lots of books. And I think to myself, you probably have never read all of those books. Maybe they have, but I bet there's a lot of books on that shelf that you've never read. Same thing with the people that you go into their house and they have DVDs that practically wrap around the house. Maybe you're seeing less and less of that because of this digital future we're living in. But I know I went to somebody's house not that long ago who I was meeting a new friend I just met. And I was like, dang, you got like a lot of DVDs. And then I'm thinking, has this person actually watched the DVD? Or do they buy the DVD because maybe they saw the movie in the theater and they just kind of liked it? I mean, I don't know. And I'm not saying like, oh, everybody who has these collections doesn't actually use them. Sure, I bet there are some people that have watched every single DVD that they own. Have you watched every single DVD that you own, Loki?
I don't own the many DVDs anymore.
Not anymore, right?
And when I did, no.
Yeah. But
probably
anyway.
Not, yeah.
Have you played every single game in the vault? Yes, see? See? Okay, see what I mean?
So, that's funny.
funny, Rob. That so is so funny.
The digital collection on Steam, the digital just makes it easier to do that. And just there's something about having that impressive collection. Like, oh, remember when it used to be we have this big binder full of CDs? Check out my CD collection. Or, you know, things like that. Like, it's just like having the collection is just part of nature. So I don't think it's like a bad thing to have like all these games pile up. In fact, I mean, sometimes you get the most random bug to go play a certain game, and then you find out, oh, I have that in my collection. And then maybe you get to experience this thing that you might have let collect dust otherwise. So, I don't know. Those are my thoughts. Did I really address your question, Metal Mayhem, or was there something deeper in that?
More or less you did. Yeah, the thing is, no, at least when I was strictly console gamer, you know, up until that close to the end of the PS3 era, you know, a lot of games, you know, especially physical games, were $60 plus. That being said, you know, I didn't buy every single last game that I came across. Now, ever since you introduced me to PC gaming, namely Steam, and mentioning Steam sales and all that, you know, I kind of caught the bug, and and where I know a state, you know, this game is normally $20. Now it's on sale for $2. So Humble Bundle has this bundle. You know, I can get all these games for $1. You know, I'm like, buy. I'll buy two of that. You know, buy whatever. You know, I'll get around to playing these eventually, but you know, the thing is, you know, it kind of built up, and you know, now I got like I said, quite a collection. And honestly, you know, I probably got more games, you know, more free time than the average person because I'm disabled and don't have a 9-to-5 job. But even with that being said,
despite your limitations and your boundaries in that regard, you've kind of found ways to, in a way, still like keep your happiness and keep your level of happiness because you are a gamer. And I know we've talked about this when you first started listening to OLR. I remember some of your concern was, am I going to fit in here because I'm still playing Nintendo 64 games when y'all are talking about PlayStation 2 and 3 type of games? And the answer was an enthusiastic yes, you still fit in here because you're still a gamer. And I think that's also, you know, you're working with the cards that you have. And in my impression, and I apologize if I'm misstating anything, Metal Mayhem, but my impression is you've kind of made a fun hobby out of deal shopping, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Lord, you ever seen any of those extreme coupon shows? People make hobbies out of finding those good deals. And that's definitely not a bad thing at all. And it allows you to still play a lot of maybe not games that came out yesterday, but a lot of games that came out within the past couple of years that are still very, very good and worthy of your attention, whether you got it for free or got it on a deep cut for only like 99 cents. So.
Yeah. You know, I'll be the first to admit that because I live on Social Security disability, which doesn't pay me much per month. You know, I can't afford to go buy, expensive games on the regular, but, you know, I kind of honed my ability to find the deals, you know, like you mentioned. You know, I look all over the place, the Humble Bundle, the sales. You know, I'll read a lot of articles and posts. You know, I'll repost the stuff that I find on Steam in the one group. Sorry. So, yeah, I mean, I got quite adept at it. So, you know, I mean, if I can find, like, a really good deal and stuff, you know, I'll point out to that stuff to other people because I know I'm probably not the only person in the world that has to live on a tight budget, you know?
Absolutely not. And I think there's other people also on a tight budget. I'm sure you're not alone in that, that appreciate all those tips and those things that you put out there when you find the games. And that's why you have sites like, for example, I'll just shout out Cheap Ass Gamer. I know they've had a podcast that's been around forever too. You know, it's because people love a good deal and to build up those backlogs, because you never know, someday maybe it'll be easy to pass along those digital backlogs to somebody else, just like it would be, your library book collection, your DVD collection. Anyway, Metal Mayhem, I got to let you go because we're running really long tonight. But thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it, buddy. Okay?
Have a good night. Take care.
All right. That was the only call that was waiting on Discord for us. So I am going to go ahead and close up Discord just because we're running over 3 hours right now. And I know everybody's about had it. But that's what happens when you've been gone for a few weeks. I will still go over to Loki and ask if there's any last minute stories that you might have.
Yes, there is. So okay. I was going to mention this. One of my favorite independent game companies, Bossa, who did the very famous Surgeon Simulator games and I Am Bread. Oh. Well, they have done something kind of in a similar tone as like how we got Goat Simulator with Coffee Stain Games. So they have these prototypes of games that they're developing that you can download for free and try them out and let them know which one you want turned into a real game. So you can go to bossapresents.com and download either they have Pigeon Simulator, I Am Fish, or Trash Bandits, and they all look great.
Oh, Trash Bandits all the way.
So Trash Bandits, you're a fox, and you
oh, that makes it even better.
Trash.
I thought it was like actual like little bandits going through the trash.
No. So Trash Bandits, it's basically your foxes that you're collecting things and throwing in the back of like a garbage truck. So you're doing that, and you're actually like, you know, it looks pretty crazy. I Am Fish, it's similar to I Am Bread. I Am Bread was kind of the game where you control a piece of bread and you try to get to the toaster. In I Am Fish, you're a fish in a fish bowl, and you have to roll a fish bowl to get to a water source without breaking the fish bowl and dying because you're a fish. Pigeon Simulator is just a ridiculous game where you're a pigeon and poop on things and pigeon things. So all look great, all free. So go check them out. And I'm going to download all of them and play them.
That's great. I love that.
So
play Trash Bandits.
That's all I had.
All right. No, that's a great last-minute stories. Completely appropriate. I will ask I know, Darkstar, you don't usually have a ton of last-minute stories, but sometimes you do. So you have anything for us? Okay.
No.
Cool. All right. Then we're going to go ahead and start to make the moves to wrap things up tonight. Great show back. I really it was hard to be gone an extra week, but I'm really glad to be back. As I've mentioned before, we will not be live next week, but thankfully it works out. We are going to have a show. So please be on the lookout on our social media because we're going to be soliciting your questions to help us build the next show that's coming up. And I seem to remember an email that had a question we need to still get to answer that. And I said we'd do that the next time we record a show. So we'll handle all of that for our recorded in advance show for next Sunday. So we will still have something new on the podcast feed for you guys and something new for those of you that are here for Bobby's show live on Twitch Sunday night, something to view right after that. So that'll be really good. But we have run really long, and I think it's time to wrap things up. So let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts. So I'll start tonight. My final thought is I've been enjoying playing the games, like more of them this week, a diverse different set of games than just nothing but MMOs. And I'm going to try to kind of keep doing that and make really good use of my Game Pass and stuff and have more games to tell you guys about. The place where I've been slacking is streaming, which, you know, I feel like is always my struggle, but just, you know, with my new job and the traveling that goes into my new job, it's been a little bit harder to get to that regularly, but I'm going to hope as we get into the new year, I can really settle down and try to do that a little more regularly for you guys. Cause I know y'all want to see me play Death Stranding. I know you do. So that's my final thought.
I can't wait.
Loki, since you laughed, you go next. What's your final thought?
Looks like Pigeon Simulator is much of a simulator of pigeons as Surgeon Simulator was a surgical simulation. It's great. I can't wait to try it out.
All right. And last but not least, Dark Sakura, I hope you feel better. I'm glad we were able to. I would have been really sad if you couldn't be here tonight. I mean, I would have completely understood. But that would have meant 1 month of no Dark Sakura. So glad you're here. Glad you made it through the show. Any final words tonight from you?
I have no filter. I'm still completely zoned.
Especially when on the meds.
And I have no fucking filter. This is the craziest feeling ever, and I'm kind of digging it. But I'm sorry if I've been a bitch.
It's okay.
A bitcher.
It's okay.
A bitchier than
usual.
Than usual.
Yes. All right. Well,
actually, I'm not really sorry.
All right. That's it. Thank you guys so much for joining us here back live tonight. We'll be back live in 2 weeks. We'll be back in a taped form next week. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for your support. Thanks for sticking with us, despite the fact that sometimes the cable knocks out our show for a week or that our real lives get in the way. Things happen. At the end of the day, happy gaming. Keep the debate spirited, but keep the debate friendly, positive, and peaceful, and don't be a dick. That's it. I'll get off my high horse and roll the credits. Have a great night, everybody. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.